Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Helios Biblios Hour, the Book of the Sun. And you know what that means. The sun shines all day, somewhere, all over the earth. Let's get it on. This morning, man, let me tell y'all, everybody, sisters, family, everybody listening today, we've got a special guest. We're going to start bringing them in. Again, this is because of the connection. See, when you're on the Dry Bones Connection, y'all bring in the guests. Hey, couldn't ask for a better guest today. Thank you, brother, coming on. We got later in the program, my man, Dr. I won't say doctor because I don't say he got doctor credentials. Charles E. Campbell, who will be with us later on at the top of the hour, around the 11 o'clock range. And let me tell you, a litany of superior accolades, but one I love the best because he hitting on this new book he got. And let me tell you, it's like we cloning each other with the knowledge, which is beautiful. Remember I told you how the clones, see the clones work all the time. You think no cloning is going on, but don't even notice, brother. We click so much together. He deserves to be on this program because he's like taking up the mantle of innovation and many of the things that we talk about in this program, especially the Boule. But one of the books we're going to kick on today is The Art of Black War Against Our Black Enemy. So look forward to that at 11 o'clock, y'all. We're going to bust it wide open because we're going to get high on the Helios today. It is so much going on. Let me give a special shout out to Antoinette, Brother Ray, Brother Eddie, all of you up there in Detroit. Love y'all. Love y'all. I mean, I can't even ask. Sister Kim Weston is just amazing. She got a song out. Hope to have her on our program. She's always on Antoinette. Can we get her one time on our program? Let's get her over here on the Dry Bones doing some wonderful things. Please call me. I'd love to come up there and play for drums or percussions with y'all. Please, let's make that happen. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, shout out to Brother Ray. Y'all heard the program the other night, him and Sister Annette, all about how we can get people motivated to take action. First thing, you got to get your mind motivated. Secondly, you got to know who you're motivating against. And today's program should make it clear because we only deal with facts. This is the program where facts matters. You all know that. It's just the first time listening. I ain't played this in a long time. The premise is facts matter. No matter what you try to put in the way of facts, including the fact that when the facts are the facts, people who hate the facts will come up with now what are called a disinformation governance board. Now, see, I am a victim of this. Many of you who've been following me for the past 8 years know that Facebook came against me in the beginning when I had some of those people doing things that I had no idea they was doing. And we don't have some doozies on here. So we don't know what everybody do in the country, but as soon as that event happened, I was contacted by the media about what this individual did when them shootings were going on and the military man shot up some people in Houston. End up giving my name as one of the most listened to shows that he was listening to out of 8. Unbelievable. I don't know who still left other 8, but we still kicking. And other 8, we come to find out immediately Facebook came out and had to show credentials, ID, and everything just to come back on here. For those of you who don't know how Facebook works, it's been working on algorithms. Being that I told you we have, anybody who know me know we got tech savvy people in our family. Very savvy. Unbelievably savvy. So it's not hard for me to believe that they can actually use what you're thinking on these platforms. And today's program, before I get caught up to where we're going to get at the 11 o'clock hour, just want y'all to know that we persevered, vindicated again. We told you they was watching, listening. We told you because they did it to me. We had a following of 100,000 people a day. The proof is right there. I ain't got to lie. Ask the neck and look up the numbers. When we became a little bit controversial, the numbers, what they put a buffer, which is now being found out, that if you was getting 100,000, you automatically saw yourself only getting 500 now, people. From 100,000 a day to 500. This is to stop your platform from making money, too, because they don't want the facts to make money. For those of you listening for the first time, the premise is facts matters, and we don't care if you don't understand that your brain creates the facts.
Very, very simple thing, that if you have a certain worldview, and conservatives have one worldview and progressives have a very different one, if you have a certain worldview that doesn't allow you to see the facts, then you won't see them. And the reason is very simple. In general, when you perceive something, something comes into your eyes, you have about a tenth of a second before it becomes conscious, and it will change in that tenth of a second to fit what you already know or believe. It will change fast, and it changes either, this is flashes of light will change, things you touch will change, all of those things will change, and ideas will change. So when you have facts that come in that won't fit the way that you understand the world, then the way you understand the world is going to change, is not going to change. The facts will either be ignored, ridiculed, or attacked because they will threaten the way you understand the world or not threaten them. People will be happy with the way you understand the world and ignore the facts. But the frames that frame the facts are part of your brain. They're physical. All ideas are physical. They're in your brain. When they come in, that part of your brain is not going to change. And so you have lots of people in this country who have conservative worldviews, and, they just don't see it. It's not like they're denying it. It's not like they, I know that fact and I'm going to deny it. It's like it's not even a fact.
Now, those of you who know we get into the esoteric of all aspects of our existence, that's, they have eyes and cannot see. See, you have eyes, but you cannot perceive with the third eye, which is your 10-second that looks like an eye that you have. And so today's program, we're going to tie all this into blacks gone wild. You see that after the guy now who had girls gone wild. But actually who promoted that was Blacks Gone Wild once the rappers got to it. So today's program is going to be dedicated to a lot of what's going on today. Blacks Gone Wild. you don't see the facts, I don't even care no more. Oh, well, it's not in your mind to see it. That's why your Bible stories tells you I have eyes and cannot see. That's the use. Obviously, you can't see or perceive, period. So there's no need to go into a big dialogue with somebody who can't perceive past a third base. And don't need to. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. You must come to grips, everybody, that they have dumbed the people down. This will come out their own scenario. It actually states, are people too stupid to be free or too gullible? Are they the same thing? In defense of the ignorant masses, they have been deliberately dumbed down and corrupted by the lust and greed. People don't learn anything. They are not taught. The people are not taught to be responsible and informed citizens. Now, in saying this quote, gets a sympathy cause because they told you long time ago they was going to dumb you down in the school system. I had learned that a long time ago. You know, Francis Quest, all the, they're going to dumb us down, dumb us down, dumb us down. Now, the question is, when did you decide that you want to get dumbed down? During the civil rights era, when you wanted to not go to school with your own people. So, of course, that caused a diabolical effect to take place, because now we got the people in our hands and we can give them more dumbing information. And that's what they did. Over time, and I'm not going to get all into it because we're going to wait till 11 o'clock hour for all this. I'm getting you prepared. See, with all this going on, think about this now. For the time they decided that they was going to dumb the population, that includes white folks who are already dumb. If you know anything about the crackers, that's a good, that's their name. So you don't even know that it came from them. Crackers, rednecks is names they gave themselves in England. So without even knowing the history of this stuff, makes you prey. And guess what? The prey gets eaten upon. And that's why today you will find out why blacks have gone wild. Now, let's get back into this. Gullible citizens ain't responsible for shit. Stupid people. Now, here's where it gets deep, because this is where we're going to take you today. See, stupid people, I didn't say this, this is quoted, still line up for the next so-called vaccine, even though if any prior vaccine had worked, they would not need more vaccines. Face it, this entire event, the means by which to steal the 2020 election via massive email ballot fraud and international computer voting rig. No COVID means no national emergency. Therefore, no mail-in ballots would be necessary. Unquote. Now, think for a minute. Think for a minute. Now, I'm going to give you some excellent facts. Here's one now. A news report is out, everybody, just in case you don't know. This is just a talk with facts matter, and news is left brain, northeast, southwest of your hemisphere of the brain. That's all the word news. It's the acronym for your mind. Northeast, west, south, news. Exclusive. The Red Cross now has admitted they won't use vax blood for convalescent plasma COVID treatments. Why would they do this, everybody? Why would the Red Cross say we can't accept the vaccinated? Really? Now, question to you all who are listening. Where is the CDC located? I put the map out there for all y'all on the show so you can see that every picture go along with what we're going to talk about today. Where's the black belt at? And they even got the region, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And that region that is propagating this COVID situation, there's a lot of black folks working for it. Lots of them. I mean, a whole army of black people who have gone into believing that the CDC cares about black people. After proving for years the CDC was a part of the AIDS program, the Ebola program, I don't know how many programs. And yet, black folks in a study were asked randomly, do they feel better with this situation that they in now? And you know them individuals, I won't even say the name, you know the individuals on a percentage-wise thought they were better off? Now, I don't like to get into politics all the time, but you are a politic. Everybody eats off each other. That's the reality of this whole situation. But the problem is, now do they know Twitter? I'm about to get deep now. See, Twitter is a Masonic organization. How do I know? Because look at the name of the bird, everybody. Goes along why Elon Musk brought Twitter, because they want to bring on a new revolution. And here's how it gets crazy, everybody. The Twitter bird is actually a blue mountain bird. The word has symbolic meaning amongst the Native Americans. They hold it in high significance. Various tribes describe the bluebird as an omen of that which folklore and stories and legends believe. It has symbolic joy and hope. Everybody was hoping and happy on one side that Twitter would now be freedom of speech. This is where freedom of speech. See, this is how you know they know the game better than you. See, they knew that freedom of speech is under attack. But the symbol of the Twitter, which is the number one source that was doing the harm for the election, just look at the facts. They got now mules being taped all through Georgia. Got them on a videotape. They about to release the movie and every damn thing. It's almost like they want us to get mad. Remember, I told you, there's a war going on, and it's between all factions, but blacks are going wild. So you better listen right quick for this one. Now, by all this disinformation they claim is out there now, they fighting you. But here's what the Twitter bird really means. It believes the bird has joy and hope. It's supposed to bring in good news. Key point, good news. What's the good news? I'm able to hold my speech. My freedom of speech may be preserved. Let's see if that's what it could possibly mean. Good news will be arriving soon. That's what it says it means. I said, what? And then it goes on to say, the bluebird is a sign that we'll never stop having faith in ourselves or our dreams, no matter how hard it might seem. That's why Twitter in the news. See, Twitter is a symbol. And then it goes on to say, there's always to be light. Let there be light at the end. Now, we was doing Cash Money game today. I would ask y'all, who is the tribe? It's the Cochiti tribe. C-O-C-H-I-T-I tribe. North America. Guess what it means, y'all? That's why we call it the Helios Biblios Hour. We find that this tribe believed that the bluebird, we find the sun held a connection with the bluebird. The sun. That's why you listen to the Helios. The sun and the bluebird became the connection with the sun. And this is what this says, that the first sun was named Bluebird. And the bluebird became known as the herald of the new sun. Due to their beautiful morning call that heralds the sun over the horizon. I said, man, let me hold back. What's the horizon mean? What are we looking at here? All of a sudden, there's a time frame here, everybody. It's a gatekeeper here. It does not want you to see what the native tribe that y'all claim y'all come from already had this story right here in America, that the blue bird. So Twitter is a symbol of the beacon of light that lights in America. And y'all know what the light is. Let there be light. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If blocked, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, it's like being hit 3 times in the head. Oh, I love these stories. Wow. Now, let's get back to the reality here. I say I'm digging deeper, man. Got to be more. Do you know now that the bluebird that's just under attack now because of the hostile takeover of the bird, the only begotten son, the son of man? He asked the question, can these bones live? This is the question. Now, I goes and dig deep. I said, man, got to be more to this blue. Blue is the lodge colors. Blue is the sky colors bouncing off the... And see, true blue, untrue blue. See, the sky ain't really blue. It's only blue because it hits the water. Now, let's get even deeper. It goes on to say that the bird has symbols in a Russian fairy tale. I said, a Russian fairy tale? What the... I go look up the Russian fairy tale symbol. I said, oh, hell no. This can't be. The bluebird is a symbol of hope. Most recently, Anton Deakin, who was characterized as the Ice March, was defeated the volunteer army in the Russian Civil War. I said, oh, man, when I got into this, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. If y'all don't look up stuff and read a little bit, you can see the whole play. The same area that this Russian Civil War is at, the same area it fought and is fighting today, Ukraine. Yes, the same one. Here's how it gets even deeper. The name of their armies were called the White Armies. Now, you best go look this up so you won't think I'm making this up. The White Armies were often lawless and disordered. Also, the whites controlled territories had multiple different varying currencies. See, very encouraged, just like they fight now. And I said, man, they asking for what Putin asking for now. It says, controlled territories have multiple different various currencies with unstable exchange rates. The chief currency, the volunteer army, was the ruble, had no gold backing. And that was why this war and the bluebird was used as its symbol for hope. And that's what Russia fighting for. Isn't it strange? The same people is still fighting today over the bluebird. Control over the sun, because they are called the sun people. I couldn't make this up if I tried. Couldn't do it. And now, I told y'all in a prophecy a long time ago, I gave y'all books. Many of you have gotten the books. I told you in the book when I read it, it said the Department of Homeland Security will be taking over all aspects of your life. Now, I didn't make this up. And those of you who got the book should be calling in, thanking me for giving you the book for free. And still, how some of you have a hard time believing this is going to happen. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? But you are the people why I say blacks have gone wild. Absolutely. Gone haywire. Now, I'm going to play the facts, because this is the facts, and you only got a certain amount of time before the bluebird gets eaten.
The Department of Homeland Security tonight is taking on dangerous disinformation. They've created a new board dedicated specifically to tackling that issue, but some lawmakers are raising concerns. Hannah Brandt explains why.
The government is launching a new effort
to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities. I'm not sure who opposes that effort.
It turns out some lawmakers do.
They want to police the speech of American citizens. It is absolutely insane.
The Department of Homeland Security insists their new disinformation governance board is meant to combat dangerous misinformation.
Disinformation that imperils the safety and security of our homeland.
The board is brand new, so exactly how they'll do that is unclear. But many Republicans are sounding the alarm bells and even comparing it to the Ministry of Truth from the dystopian novel 1984.
This is nothing more than a blatant attempt to install a Ministry of Truth in order to push Biden's propaganda.
Congressman Andrew Clyde calls the board unconstitutional, and Senator Marsha Blackburn says it's censorship.
They're going to say, we're going to step in here and we are going to take control because there are some things we want you to know and there are some things we don't.
The Biden administration argues there's a major need to combat the lies and conspiracies that mislead people and sow division.
There has been a range of disinfo out there about a range of topics, I mean, including COVID, for example, and also elections and eligibility.
But Senator Josh Hawley wants the board to be dissolved.
Just because you disagree with your opponent doesn't mean it's disinformation.
In Washington, I'm Hannah Brand.
Now, I'm about to bring in y'all before we put my guests coming on at 11. I'm about to tell y'all right now. If y'all don't know what that means, they even mentioned 1984. How many times have we showed you on this program that it looks like that is the Constitution comes of 1984, Orwellian, which is also a British theme song because they're already doing Orwellian things over there. And don't forget China, who's blocked and shut down a whole entire city. People are going into psychopathic breakdown right now. And you, old black people, y'all have gone wild. Y'all wilding out. The death rate amongst blacks has tripled of the shooting. The same states and cities that y'all uphold and vote Democrat is democratically controlled. It's democratically controlled. And let's just deal with the blacks that lives in democratically controlled. You got to ask yourself, if they told you that the white folks are supposed to be racist and these policies, they trying to stop the white folks from being racist, then why the hell you losing? If that's the case, you got to be the biggest stupid people on the planet right now. Because anybody could tell me you could watch black people on TV who are millionaires to billionaires in every commercial practically. Every commercial. Now, I told y'all the richest slaves on the planet. Y'all thought I was joking. Y'all going to be the last of the richest slaves. They got a whole new crop coming in. And they let Title 42 go, number 7. And brother Eddie, I hope you do something on Twitter. What's the number for Twitter, please? Twitter, what's that add up to? I mean, this is almost appalling that you would even believe that your government, and see, y'all want to say, oh, they're both the same. I didn't tell you there was no spies in the government. There's spies in the Bible. Ain't that what the Bible story said? Send out spies into what? The countryside, see how you can take it over? That don't psych me out. That makes, like, how it's done, espionage. Ain't that in your Bibles? Ain't that how God told you to go get the land? Sent out spies first? Okay, well, you got a bunch of spies in this bad boy. See, and guess what? They already peeped you out. They gave you everything. Everybody coming out of here now that's doing the killing is psychopathic. Based on Batman. You let out the crazies and let them do crime, it becomes Gotham City. Now, you know y'all think we added everything. Sci-fi is in reality too. So you think you ain't in sci-fi, but you in sci-fi. All the way live. Now, let's even deal with that one before I open up these mics. You just heard they want to stop speech. Obama just gave a speech about disinformation. Here's a guy that says you could keep your plan, and that was a lie. Here's a guy that said Biden was an idiot. Here's a guy, a sister, who claims that Biden hurt her when she was a child because he went and hanged with segregationists. And then y'all got the real segregationist and Klan member who eulogized the Ku Klux Klan. Y'all let gave him a pass. So now you got to deal with their policies. Everybody told you that the party was a Democrat, was KKK. That's where we get the circle in the circle, which we'll be getting to later on with the vase, with the Sphinx on his paw. Why is he over the circle of the Ku Klux Klan? Because that means circle in a circle. I like that's a great name, ain't it? Ooh, love it. Now, let's open the mics. I want to hear y'all. See, because speech in a little while, like I'm talking now, I'll be picked up in a little while, and y'all be like, oh, shit, Dry Bones got picked up and shit. Oh, your ass going to get picked up, too. You don't wake up. See, you think they're going to just pick me up? Ah, 6661, you on the Helios.
Hey, my brother, Great Dawning. Great Dawning. Man, I got my popcorns on. I stay stocked up with my popcorns on this thing because, you know, it's getting to the point where it's on and popping, and it's going to be futile, you know. And when we look at the invention of this, even though it goes back to 1948 or whatever, 84. And you know, we look at all the executive CEOs that were in charge of this corporation, and we look at the origins of where it got kicked into play around 9/11, and right. when we looked at the author of the Patriot Act, he was Asian. When we look at who was the CEO in charge, and it was George W. Bush, Rhino now in name, right. But he implemented all these nuances that were carried over and which the other CEO picked up on, which was Obama, and they just loved it. I call it the candy touch, the color game, which enveloped all the homeland, that so to speak, and they were, oh, we got the first man of color, and you know, and I was like, oh Lord, here we go again. And so Obama, he was the one that initially created this so-called ministry.
Disinformation.
However, the plan didn't evolve or kick into play up until now, after the truth came out with all this laptop now, and Elon Musk bought one of the most liberal sites that were blocking people, that were shadowing, you know, like you go onto the site, they was like how they did you. They shadowed you. You had to put in your name. You had to send them so-called paperwork of who you were and all that.
That's
and I was
right.
Like, what?
They want government ID.
Yes. Yeah. And so now that Elon bought the one of these, the big suppressors of information, now that the truth may come out, now that all of this suppression, because they don't want you to hear the truth, because now the so-called November elections are about to come on us, so they're starting early now. Let us suppress everything early. Let us kick into gear so we could suppress. So now they're doing the reverse. Or what's going on, what's getting ready to take place and coming down the path. But one thing before I close on this one, before I close on this one, what's getting ready to unfold is that the one thing when I look at both sides of the wing and we get to clean out the mess and we go to the purge factor, how does it still in play? Is it still, Draco's still going to be over us? Is this still ministry going to go into effect for the ones that now they've been suppressed? It's going to come on as permanently to be, and that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, the permanent suppression. If not thought about, I'm going to get some more calls. Try to get as many as you can. 11 o'clock, my host, my guest will be coming on with us. This is going to be a beautiful program today. I hope y'all stay tuned to all this. 888-8554. Jump in.
What's up, man?
Man, we loving this. It's like a wake-up call.
I mean, me and you just had a conversation about this, what was it, a couple of days ago. It's really, far as in Chicago, it ain't really too much to say. I mean, but the question is, though, just not here and where everybody else live at, what is the real issue? Who's the real enemy? Is it the people that's doing this against us, or is it the people letting the shit happen just by not even believing or not even wanting to know that there is a disinformation campaign going on? And it really ties in, what you're talking about right now, really ties in with the brother's book you were talking about, The Art of Black War Against the Black Enemy. But this just don't just apply to black people, white people, Hispanic people, just like, for example, and the reason why I said that, because you still got people walking around here with masks on, bro.
Yeah.
So who is the real enemy? Is it them or is it yourself?
And again, with the Twitter thing, I told you it ties into the Native American tribe of what's the sun, and being that suppression of the Twitter, which is actually a symbol of the suppression of the sun, it is like we are not given light. It's like they refuse to give us light. They want us in darkness. And
right
now it seems
only if you allow. But that was interesting. Not if you do I was playing around real quick before I got on. I did a quick Google search. If you type in the Egyptian birds of Kemet, guess what came up? The Bennu bird.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the picture of the bird, it is blue.
Uh-huh.
It says it's an ancient Egyptian deity. Because like I said, I ain't going to get in the argument between the Greek mythology thing and Kemet and Egypt all right there. That's for another show. But the definition, according to the Bennu bird, says that it is an ancient Egyptian deity linked with the sun, creation, and rebirth.
Yeah.
He may have been the original inspiration for the Phoenix legend that developed in Greek mythology.
There you go. Now see, that's why I say, look how far this story has traveled, that a Native American tribe, the Cahuitachi, seems to be on the same premise of that which came out of Kemet. So this story is a transcending event. And then again, look how many nations know about this story. Not even China, y'all. It's not just, it was in China too. China got a story about, I just happen to take this because this pretext here is what we're dealing with this bird. And this bird has always been a color. Yeah, that's blue. And those of you know what blue means for the lodge, oh well, you see that this is a culture. Let me ask you one more question that's been going on. The kids, do you think the DNA, I just said that they no longer want to take blood. The Red Cross admits they won't use vax blood. Y'all look it up. And what's your take on maybe that these young people got vaccinated and they hyping them up? What's your take on that?
Well, the thing is, it's not just the young people. It's the old people, too. And tying that in, like I said, with all these cell towers they putting up now, and with this 5G technology, they going after our young people. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine down in Tennessee, we had a talk the other day. She was saying how, like, she was looking a lot of videos up here of the kids and stuff up in Chicago, and she was saying, like, they all look zombied out. What is making them look like that? I mean, it could be the shots. It could be the combination of shots, the technology,
drugs,
making
the
them look like that, making them, you know, act all crazy and stupid, you know, doing all this dumb shit, going out here committing all these crimes.
Yeah,
I mean, it could
that's
be a combination of both.
And then Black's Gone Wild. I said it, Black's Gone Wild. Let me get some more calls. Try to get as many as you can.
One more thing. Let me give you an example. Just like this just happened between last night and early this morning. These kids carjacked somebody in downtown Chicago, took their Rolls Royce, and they chased them pretty much throughout the city and ended up on the other side of town, and they jumped in the Chicago River to escape the police, and they end up dying.
God damn.
I don't know what else to say about that, bro.
Black's Gone Wild. Black's Gone Wild. Okay, we about to get more. Let me get you. Stay tuned, y'all. This is just getting psyched to the reality level that needs to be talked about. Let me go to 1300. Welcome to the Helios.
What's going on, my brother? What's going on?
Oh, man. Go ahead, bro. It's going. You see it's going. We about to get it on.
Yeah, man. You know, it's that equinox season, man. I was telling you, you know, my mom passed away. She took off on Mother's Day. We're going to let her leave, get her wings for Mother's Day. So Yeah, but it's going down, man. It's you can see the dysfunction going on in all black communities right now, and it's because of what happened. Could you hold for a minute, bro? Hold on, bro. Somebody interrupt me. Sorry about that. But yeah, it's definitely going on, bro. And you see, Wells Fargo is laying off employees in their home lending department. So they said that the analysts are saying that those cuts will likely affect all of the markets. So if you know, it's Wells Fargo laying off, that mortgage crisis, that mortgage bubble is upon us, and we're under recession, family. Just to keep it 100 with you, we're under recession, family. They're not going to come out and tell us because there's so much dysfunction going on. And you notice also they're trying to kind of ramp up the corona regulations again because it's getting close to the state elections, and they want to create some more dysfunctions with the mail-in thing. I heard you making a few points. I was in and out a little bit this morning. And also, I heard about the Russian ruble you was mentioning. That's very interesting, trying to attach that to gold. And you remember, we always talk about the money game, the currency. And family, I'm telling you, you're going to have a plan. Don't sit around and wait on and think that things are going to return back to normal. Keep this in mind, family. Every currency has 100 years of dominance. The empire is falling. The empire is falling. London Bridge already done fell. Now the Empire State is falling. So I'm just telling you, don't wait. Do something that you can create tangible for yourself, family. You want things you can put your hands on right away. You don't want to stay under the order or the control of somebody who's feeding you, somebody who's supplying your energy, somebody, because when that government or whatever that falls, you're going to fall with it.
Usually it's local.
So you've got to have a backup plan.
It's going to be local. Yeah.
I digress,
local,
my brother.
Yeah. Go ahead with that. I'm going to keep that thought because the local governments have now used your COVID money, which was trillions, to put in CRT.
Absolutely.
I mean, all
critical
over
race
the country,
theory.
You're all in Illinois, New York State. They gave trillion or billion. They gave enough. And I said to myself, in California, I said, my goodness. I said, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't even
and
go
that
to
CRT, y'all. That CRT is the old bait and switch, my brother. They bait you up with, hey, it's all about black lives and all that. The next thing you know, you co-opting the LGBT immigrants and everything else and got thrown in the pot. And you looking crazy. You looking at the bag got a hole in the bottom of it, and all the tangibles gone. Because God give every creature, let me just say this, bro, God gave every living creature, don't never let nobody make you embarrassed to look out for your own people first. He gave every creature the ability and the right to defend itself and defend its young. If you're going along with some of these policies, you're literally selling your generations out. I digress, my brother.
Yeah, I like how they put that. Now, there's a gatekeeper. See, y'all thought the cartoon Guardians of the Galaxy was made up. No, that was made up. That was a hell of an allegoric story about some fraternal orders. 3364, welcome to the Helios.
Yes, sir, man. Y'all touched on a lot of things, man, but... Hey, man, right now the only person I can now check and keep in line is me.
That's
okay,
right.
But
right.
The choice is, like the Matrix say, either take the fucking blue pill and stay asleep, go along with this shit, or take the red one. I'm on the red pill, man. And so that's when I take the red pill, man. They can't stop us, man. I mean, I don't do what we're doing, bro.
That's what
I
say.
You said it. It said that
keep your dreams. That's what the Bluebird meant for my people. It says keep your dreams alive. It's light at the end of the tunnel. That's what, let there be light.
Yes, sir.
Ignorance got to go. Ignorance got to go. That's what's happening.
Yes,
ignorance
sir.
Is ruling. But
yes,
go ahead.
Sir.
Finish up.
And
even with
the social media shit, what they did, they did the same shit to me to Facebook, and they shadow banned you, man. It's called shadow banning. Every periodically, when I post shit on Facebook, they block me, say I'm putting out disinformation, and then they'll lock my account with some bullshit. What I see, it's all based on your emotion to get you all amped up, or I can't get on Facebook. So when they lock my account, the last occurrence when I post people in Chinese jumping out of windows and killing themselves, right? So all of a sudden, Facebook know I'm going to fall for this bullshit. So they said my password ain't no good. Come up with a new password. So I tried it two or three times, and then they come through. I just walk away from their ass, man. They all now, they want your emotion where you go crazy right. to get back online. So right. I just walk away with that shit, and then all of a sudden they reset and get me right back on it, man. See, I got to, I got all them patents for hypnotic shit and put you in a trance to fuck with your emotion, man. That's what this electronic shit is, man. Your phone, your laptop, these damn websites to get you
it's
emotion.
Shooting dopamine
get you
in your head,
hypnotic.
Right.
Yeah, to get you all amped up where you want to kill some goddamn body. Even if you post something, they'll send a robot to I post facts and truth like we all do. And then when I get these comments, I say, this is a goddamn robot saying shit, man. So I investigate who's doing that shit.
It is a robot,
man. It's a goddamn bot.
It's a robot. It tells you.
Bot trying to tell me I'm lying, man.
They tell you on the computer every day. Every day, I'm a robot.
So I just,
are you a robot?
I know how they control my emotions. So I said, fuck them. I don't even reply, man. I don't even go back and forth with now, no goddamn body. I don't care if I see you or we check.
That's why
they
don't think
I give your ass 3 minutes. I don't go back. I'm just like my man Duval.
Yep.
I'm just like Duval, man. I listen to their music, man, these young cats. They got some good songs. Like Duval say, I'm living my best life, man. I ain't got time to be going back and forth with no nigga about nothing, man. Because people right now, it's sound now, man. Okay, it used to be, what we say, sticks and songs break my bone, word never hurt
they,
me. You say something to somebody, they flip the fuck out, man. Want to kill your ass over some stupid shit, man.
Yeah,
I walk away and say, have a nice day, man. I ain't got
time, you got to. You got to know how to work them because they are adrenaline up at a certain level because of health care.
Mm-hmm.
I hate for people to have to go to the doctors, really. I mean, I had to go one day, and let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Urgent care, y'all. Urgent care. If y'all got to go to urgent care, make sure you go to the best one you can go to because the medical field is a very serious thing for us because we end up there a lot. And ain't no telling if they take, let's take a shot, let's take this. Ain't no telling what they're giving you. So be cognizant of what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
Let me get some more calls.
Yes, sir. Let me say one more thing.
Hurry up.
Y'all got to remember, a doctor and a butcher wear the same goddamn coat. Both of them will cut your ass up. A doctor and a butcher. Stay away from
them. Oh, shit. All right. I ain't going to even stop that one. That's a fact right there. Let me go to 50. My man. Brother, look, jump in. Because thank you for that connection. This is my man. We always have this talk. And he brought somebody to the table. It's going to be a wonderful enlightenment about to come up, man. So go ahead. Jump on in.
Hey, brother. Yeah, definitely, man. Going to be impacting the show. I think it's time we got to stare into that mirror, look amongst ourselves, and see now where the trouble originates from. You know, our gatekeepers have been very successful for the enemy. They've been layered in throughout the structure, and now they're quiet on the doom that's already set to take place. In terms of the medium income of blacks in America is dropping. The homeless rate is up right now as all these economic situations unraveling. You're going to have to find out, now you have to understand now who's been the hidden foe amongst us. And I think this guest is going to pretty much bring the fire. And then the book itself, get the book. And if you got kids in school, kids in college, get them the book. Get them to read the book because they'll be the ones coming up behind to hold it up.
Yeah,
they're going to be joining these Greek organizations and not be any tools or help to the community. They'll be the ones that take over the next phase of it. So we got to bring this information hard to them. We were lucky to get some griots, the Coakleys, to come to us, the Clarks and everything to kind of bring us some, you know. And we have, of course, the living legend himself, Powernomics. Y'all know who it is. They've been delivering the message to us. But you have the buffers that's been making sure that the information is dissipated, never have an impact until it's too late. And like Brother Vonsi said, anyway, condolences, brother, to your mom's passing.
Yes.
You know, so it makes you rest in peace.
Yes.
And
Much shout out to that.
The game is serious now. It's no joke, fellas. It's no joke, and we gotta be very be careful about our divisions. You can always tribe up. At the end of it, you're going to need allies in any type of war. You're going to
need,
temporary allies, permanent allies. But you got to know
right.
who have your back. The problem
that's
is now, will we be able to trust our brothers and sisters to have our backs when things really come full circle, you know?
Well,
I don't know if y'all
can
notice, they burned down.
That's the question.
A couple of food processing plants have been damaged and burned down mysteriously. Y'all have been tracking now throughout the whole
It's not the whole country. It's like in every region, food packing company has been burnt, hit by an airplane, some miraculously way.
Some strange accident,
Some strange accident, yeah. Go ahead, make a statement. We get one more caller. I'm going to take a brief break so we get started. But go ahead, one more statement, and I'm going to break some more people.
Yeah, right now it's no joke. That's all. I'm gonna leave it at that, and we'll get ready.
Hey Bo, could I make a statement before you go to another call?
Yeah, briefly. Go ahead.
You know that Sphinx you talked about holding the vase or whatever.
That is actually
the symbol for the boule in the black community.
The Sphinx
holding the vase.
That's why we said it. Is that we know that this is a very talked about program with this, and I'm glad we bring it because it needs to be talked about. It's been kept at a bay for a long time. Let me get one more caller. 4853.
Hey, Drybone. Good day to all. Good day to all.
What's up,
my comment, back in the day, Ebony had a magazine. Ebony had they came out in 1 month. I don't remember what it is.
Okay,
I don't
know
how to help.
You know how to call into the show, right?
Huh?
Hello? Are you in the show or no? Are you in it? Did you dial into the show?
He must be on another call.
Yeah, dial in. You got to dial in to get on. All right.
You can't hear
number
me,
one. Hit the number one button.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
He's probably on another call. We can hear you, but he's probably on another call right now.
No,
he's
we can't listening. Hear you, man. But keep talking, man. We can't hear you, but keep talking.
Ebony came out in a month, and the magazine talked about Drylango. Drylango means people that are conscious but being morbid. The main people now who have zombie killer on the side of their vehicles is the young people. And those are the people that they're trying to shoot up right now. The brother talked about earlier how the sister asked about the people in Chicago, how they look so morbid and whatnot. Some of the people that took the poke said they can't feel their soul anymore. This is part of the thing that's going on. But my question is, how come we don't have our own social network like Twitter, like Facebook?
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's,
you know, everybody talks about how many billions,
trillions
are in our economy.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. No, it makes sense. Because I think a long time ago, before I just, the sheik, the seed was going to put this so-called More Us website. He came on this program, thought it was a great idea. It didn't materialize. I don't know if they're being stopped or not, but that's a good point. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah, no, it is that simple because, you know, Tariq Nasheed came out with Hidden Colors and all of that, or one of the individuals, whatever the case may be. They dropped
right.
a lot of information, and some of it was confused. They talked about the Moors, then they talked about the ones that was bought here as slaves. So, you know, he was double dutching, but overall, you don't know if that's for survival or what, because they killed a lot of people. But we need to start looking into these things. Everybody talking about sovereignty, everybody talking about protecting themselves from what is to come. But if we can't put out our information, just like Bill Cosby, he ain't the only one that has sex with women. You talk to the average rapper from the 80s or the 90s.
Yeah.
The groupies is every damn where. You know what I'm saying? So what he did was an abomination trying to get NBC was. So why do we go against our people because of what they put in their magazines and newspapers?
Right.
You know, Bill Cosby
is a
rapist.
That's right. Racist, pedophile. Now, again, I'm saying this because I told everybody, if his wife wasn't upset, I don't give a fuck. If I ain't see her going berserk, I definitely ain't going berserk. So, you know, I'm saying to myself.
Well, hell, Bill Cosby out, R. Kelly should be out too. But that's a different story for a
different
time.
Story. Right, yeah. So I'm saying, but this is like you just said. Okay,
I'm looking at the music industry. I've seen a lot of people that we grew up watching. Babyface and them, they control a lot of shit still. You still got some of the old school that we grew up with now running this industry. And I'm looking at what I'm seeing. And I'm going to say this to everybody before we take this break. It is going to come a time because whatever municipality you in, I don't know what municipality all y'all in. I know y'all in different regions. But your municipality, if the black people in the municipality is richer than they was when they got that job, obviously they looking out. And your community, it does not look any better. That means you are letting this parasite, which is a politic, suck you. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what y'all have to remember. It's a biological game. Just like you play the game with your body, it's the same game you're playing with this whole body of gods and everything. Because they looking at us saying, okay, they dead. We the walking dead to people. That's a symbol. So if you the walking dead, don't participate. Knowing you still got to go to the store, though y'all getting gas, you know y'all getting gas. But you know that if you get cut off, now you're going to be part of the Matrix gang. See, that's what y'all ain't ready for. So today we're going
to
get you ready.
They closed down the grocery store here going off on gas. If you ain't got no gas, you can't get to the grocery store. That's not in your neighborhood no more.
There you go. There you go. Now, all I'm going to say is think about that, because what's happening is these conversations for the bigger whole. We need y'all to know that you listen to something that may get cut off if we don't wake up. They going to let me. They going to let us keep talking the way we doing if we don't stand for what we're talking about. And that's what's
right,
happening.
Exactly.
Let me get the guys.
One more thing,
ready.
Dry Bones. One more thing. One more thing. Everybody throws one more thing in the equation. I don't think nobody could punch somebody in the nuts like Wes did with what he said about the white coats, man. That shit was fly. But my point is this.
Yeah, that was good there.
That's my point is this. All it takes is an assembly of people, meaning you get a petition, you get everybody to sign it, and you take that shit to government. Everybody talks about the corruption in these politicians and who they work for, but yet we'll get them next time. No, get they ass now. Why wait till shit get worse? Get they ass now. Put a petition together. We want them out of office.
Knows what you said. That's why I go with the allegory. The pen is mightier than the sword. See, just like I told everybody, the same thing you just said, we just said, you just have to disavow yourself of both parties if you really want to make a friction fire without even shooting a gun, because they know the gun thing is what they want. Now, let's take a break. Put yourself on mute, everybody. So when we bring it back, look for it, motherfucker. I told you, hit the number one button, brother. Hit the number one button so your phone will light up. Yeah, let me know you're on the line. I'll be looking down for you. But, hey, we got to give homage. Homage is what it's all about. People who put their foot in the ground floor, laid the ground floor, made sure the foundations were sturdy so we can build upon. And we have. And many of you have already. The building is a manifestation of factual people seeing down what's happening. We got one coming at you at this time. And, again, that's because he took the mantle from what was given to him, and he's building another floor. That's what it's all about.
Hey, welcome to Southern California, KPFK, Brother Steve Coakley.
Hey, good evening, brother.
One of our great researchers that have exposed the boule, a phenomenon that most of us in the movement never knew about until you came and brought light, took the sheets off of these Negro Klan members and explained to us what the boule is all about. So what we'd like for you to do is tell us the history of the boule, who the boule are, their origins, and their relationship to the ruling class.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for hosting me and my friends here, and appreciate you and all your company. Everybody's excessively intense, and that is the demand of the day. This secret society, this particular black secret society that we'll talk about today, is the first of the black Greek societies, started in 1904, and that word that you said, boule, is actually an acronym. It's a Sigma Pi Phi. Sigma Pi Phi, 1904 in Philadelphia. And for most of our people, we are not prepped to the responsibility of secret society in the American society.
Mm-hmm.
And this founding constitution, this illegal criminal enterprise, was a Masonic affair. And a masonry is a form of secret society. There are other well-known secret societies like Skull and Bones at Yale, of which this corrupt president and his father were members of. And it is that society that the black society modeled itself after. So when they wrote their first history book, The History of Sigma Pi Phi, by a very noted black author, university president Charles Wesley, who wrote the history book for the Elks, the Prince Hall Masons, National Council of Negro Women, Alpha Phi Alpha, and Sigma Pi Phi. And as a result...
Now, I just wanted to give that brief, a bunch of homage to Steve Coakley, and that was the foundation right there. Now, we got the brothers who are going to build up some more floors for this grand foundation that was given to us. This brother here came to me from my brother Luck, as always, and by talking about a subject, me and Brother Luck been talking about Brother Voss in the lodges and everywhere else. Why do we allow our own people to be telling us one thing and then we find out they did another? And it's fundamental with the history that's been totally fraudulent in so many ways. So when he told me about this brother, I said, yeah, let's hear it. Because if he's saying the book, The Art of Black War Against a Black Enemy, that resonated with me immediately. I said, wow. Then we talked about some of the things that the brother was about. And I'm going to just say this. The accolades is, I mean, we talking about somebody who was in it. Pledge Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Epsilon chapter in 1989, graduated from Ohio State. Studying electronics. What, Brother West, you're going to love this brother. Electronic and electrical engineering patents on some inventions on hydropower plants, a U.S. patent, and just a litany of things that could create economic wealth. And we're going to get into, I guess, hopefully this won't be the last time. This might be the first time, but I'm sure it won't be the last time because there's so much to cover with him. But we're going to primarily cover this amazing book that he put together called, I mean, you can't get it no better. I mean, the accolades is for real. An Art of War, but he put black, which is what we are fighting against a black enemy. So without further ado, let me bring on a special guest brought in by my brother, True Connection, Charles E. Campbell. Let me get him on the line. Brother Campbell, you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Brother Doran. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We thank you, man. Let me just say this. As the host, we want you to know that we're looking forward to hearing from you, and we're looking forward to getting right into what you want to get into far as how you want to do it. Let's just start with that you're from the Mississippi Delta region, and that's a beautiful region. That's like one of the Now Valley regions for America. So just give a little brief synoptic view of you coming into this and how you grew into finding this out.
Well, thank you again, brother. Was born in poverty in the Mississippi Delta, and that as I grew up looking at that and looking at the poverty was the thing that I wanted to correct. So when I went to Jackson State University and chose a major, I chose social work because I thought that was the profession that would allow me to help my people to help themselves. And I earned a master's degree at Ohio State University and worked in the profession for a while, and then discovered that there was what I call the poverty industrial complex, where social workers were working within a profession to maintain it, not to solve poverty, but to help maintain. And there was billions of dollars throughout this country flowing to social service agencies, but the result never seems to change. And that caused me to leave the profession and to really think about using my skills to develop a solution. I've got a true passion and a love for black African-American people, unapologetically. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was launched a startup after reading Dr. Claude Anderson's books Black Labor, White Wealth, and Powernomics. I wanted to create an implementation of Powernomics in that form. So I launched a company called the Quiet Resolution, TQR Inc. And people can visit that website, tqrinc.com, and learn about that company. And the goal was to address collectively many of the things that were happening to Black African-American people, from economics to education to the political and legal issues, our security, economic development, the social, medical, and research aspect of it, and have those institutes in over 150 cities where we have a large, significant population. And my thinking was that I couldn't at the time get Black folks to collectively support the program by donating $20 or whatever per month. So I looked around for a large problem. And back in 2008, climate change was that issue. And so I said, okay, well, let me try and figure out a way to solve climate change. So I launched a startup called Allen Hydro Energy Corporation, based on an idea of creating a new type of large-scale hydroelectric power plant that was not connected to a river or lake. And so I designed and got a patent that was issued in 2013 for a new type of power plant designed in a 70-story building. So you have the height and can store the water and reuse the water, and that would make it portable anywhere in the world. And from that standpoint, I began to talk to people. And this is where I began to notice that a group of Black men and their wives were opposing or not interested in what I was trying to do. And at some point, I couldn't even get media to talk about the technology. So after completing the power plant, I decided to design a wildfire mitigation technology, which is called Rainmaker, which is basically a large drone carry a water and cornstarch solution that could extinguish wildfires. Now, this was back some 10 years ago, and I found something very strange that was happening is that there would be people who would ignore this technology while every year wildfires are burning out of control. And right. Something strange was happening about that. So I wanted to figure out what was going on. And I suspect that a lot of the people that I was talking to were members of Sigma Pi fraternity. Now, this group of men and their wives are everywhere. They're in politics, they're in the military, they're in throughout the government. And a lot of times when I'd be talking to people, some strange things would start happening. And so that caused me to begin to do some research and look at the disparities that was happening and try and figure out how could a people as brilliant as us still be allowing the things to happen to us. And what really sort of got me concerned was in Columbus, Ohio, we had a mayor here, Michael Colburn, who's a member of Lambda Chapter Boule, and the Black infant mortality rate was higher than in Mississippi. And I said, something is wrong with that people in charge of resources would allow what is happening to our Black babies. And that really caused me to really take a look at this group and how they are organized with over 130 chapters. Everywhere you find Black folks, these folks exist. And they are organized in a way where they have set out to create all of the organizations. So the Greek sororities and fraternities, they founded them. The civil rights organizations, they founded them.
Right.
And they're connected in a way that allow them to operate like I equated to a mafia, which means that their purpose is to help maintain Black folk in our condition, subjugated to the white power structure. So
right.
Anyone who's trying to do anything to change that narrative is a threat to their dominance. They
agenda.
Are the black faces in high places.
Now let me ask you, because now I'm reading your bio, you pledged Omega Psi Phi fraternity. Now, when you first got in, what was the prospect of what you was thinking when you joined it, what you thought they were, like, going to do?
Well, when you're in college, you know, you're very young, and so you're impressionable.
Right.
But mm-hmm. what got me was when I got to Jackson State University, being from the Mississippi Delta and poor, I didn't have the money to go. And they literally said, you've got to have $3,000 at the time or you have to go home. And I said, you know, I don't want to go home. Who do I need to talk to? And they sent me to talk to a man named Dr. Billy A. Roby, who later became a mentor, and I worked for him in terms of his capacity at the school. But then he took me to another gentleman by the name of Dr. V.A. Nelson. And mm-hmm. at the time, I didn't know these men were members of Omega Psi Phi fraternity. And they had a conversation with me, and Dr. V.A. Nelson wrote on a piece of paper. He gave me the piece of paper and said, go take this and get registered. And that's how I got into college. And I later learned that so when I looked at these men, I saw them as race men who didn't know anything about me but gave me an opportunity. And from a cool standpoint, these brothers on campus was it. I mean, they ran government. They exhibit the thing and a manhood.
Which is good, which is a good thing. Let's make it clear that it does have a charismatic appeal to it, just like anything from Freemasonry. You know, it has a charismatic appeal to it. So I can't even imagine not joining, especially in that Jackson State persona. But let me ask you that.
Yeah.
Once you got in, and you started, when did you start to feel that something wasn't going right? After, I mean, because usually they take care of those who are in the fraternity. Like, for instance, you could have went to one of them and say they could have financed it, your endeavors.
That has not been the case. You know, when you love black people unapologetically, and you peep the game, right? Our founder, Ernest Everett Just, was Boulé, as well as mm-hmm. many of the Boulé. And they have locked these organizations into a set of what we call mandated programs. Mm-hmm. And once you've done these, you can do these with your eyes closed. So it's not really a challenge. But the unique thing about them is none of them are directly connected to the black disparity that's happening. So we can run around and do a bunch of things, but none of it is directly connected to changing or improving the social determinants that are really hurting our community. And they're structured so that you spend your time and your energy doing these things, but when it comes to really trying to address what is happening, that is frowned upon. You end up getting ostracized. Folks don't want to have those kind of conversations. And
right.
Our grand bachelor, Dr. Marion, is Boulé, as well as our grand counselor, the gentleman who represented George Floyd and so many other Breonna
Taylor.
Yeah,
yes, he's definitely
he's
Boulé. Yeah.
The challenge, what I've learned is that this organization, they have members in all of the organizations, as well as their wives in the sorority. And they operate like the snitch. So you have brothers who don't know that other brothers in these organizations are members of Sigma Pi Phi. Don't know it. They're sitting
right.
in your meetings. And anytime you try and do anything to try and suggest changes to the bylaws or any of the things that will allow us to really fault things that
right.
are happening, that
right.
is frowned upon. That's the ostracized. They don't even want. I even tried to get my local chapter here to add, and even I talked to at the national level, apostles, grand apostles, about just simply placing the disparity data of what's happening to black folks on our website, on the chapter's website, and that was ignored. And those kind of things are how Sigma Pi Phi fraternity and their wives literally control many of the organizations that you think are civil rights organizations. But if you right. look at the strategy and the results, most of them simply want you to protest, march, boycott, non-economic stuff. And then the results of the disparity data is appalling, where you have mass incarceration, high black infant mortality rates. You have poor educational outcomes. So you have all of those things that flow right into white supremacists' fears about black folks becoming a majority population and allying with Hispanics and taking over the country. That is the biggest fear. That's why you see all of the bans on abortion. That's why you see the mass incarceration and the high black infant mortality rate. So all of it is a strategy. They are working from a plan, and none of our civil rights organizations have literally put out any kind of plan to move black folks forward as a whole. And so that's yeah. where the Quiet Revolution came in, to say we've got to have a plan of how we organize and use our resources. Because
now, I had this talk. Let me ask you a question right quick. Yeah. I had this talk because it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. We had this talk with some of the greatest civil rights icon on this program was Ray Fauntleroy, a litany of history out of D.C. and here in Florida. And we just asked him the same thing. He was running into trouble himself trying to do the right thing, and he was a high level in the SCLC. So the question would be, your area, are we talking about Ohio or the Mississippi? What area are we talking about?
Ohio. I'm in Ohio
okay.
now.
Okay, so you're in a hell of a region. Yeah, good shout out to Ohio. Yeah, we got people in the Cincinnati region. So, yeah, let me ask you, because I think that's a Democratic or a Republican type of state? What's the state?
It's a Republican state, but the Central Ohio, Columbus, is a Democratic pale. But again, it doesn't matter. And see, this is where people get confused about the whole Boulé. It doesn't matter. They are supporting the issues that white supremacists have, those things that keep black folks in our place. That's their job, you know, advisors to the king. And so right. one of the things that I say is that they're not going away, because they are the richest group of black folks in this country and well-connected
yeah.
all throughout,
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
going anywhere.
They're not going
anywhere. I simply yeah. say mm-hmm. that anybody who's having any kind of meeting, fraternity, sorority, or civic, or you're trying to organize anything, ask them to identify themselves. Because if they're sitting in your meeting and they don't want to identify themselves, number one, that's very telling, right? But if they do identify themselves as a member of Boulé, then when they start talking and when they give their perspective, you'll understand exactly where it's coming from. When they are opposing or objecting to things that you think would benefit black folks as an organization or as a group, you're trying to do things and they're opposing, yeah. And the trick that they use that I found is that the bylaws and the constitutions were structured in a way where they don't mention the empowerment of black folks. And so they can always
right.
lean on the Constitution or the bylaws. I mean, brothers have long arguments about the Constitution, the bylaws, and why you can't do this and why you can't do that. And I figured out that was their strategy.
Let's go there, because now, you know, we on dry bones. We like to get at the heart of everything. Let me just say this now. A lot of these fraternal orders are in Masonic orders. So basically, we got a duality of collegiate, the so-called upper level connection. Now we've seen this ourselves. There is even in Masonry, the same group is in Masonry. So basically, it's being pre-opted to go in the direction that is not beneficial to what you're saying, black people. Now in writing this book, I'm assuming that you had to come to a serious head to put a book together. So I know that took a lot of thought in doing so. Let me ask you, you mentioned Dr. Claude Anderson, and I've seen some things in there. I met Dr. Claude Anderson personally here in South Florida a long time ago when you had the first book. And he already had told us pretty much that we were going to be from the second richest by all the immigration. We're now going to be like fifth and fourth. People going to be over us. In your area or areas that you've been around, do you see that we are kind of lackadaisical when it comes to immigration? Is that, do you find that to be a part of the game too, the immigration policies as part of it?
The immigration is definitely a part of it. It's a numbers game. And so, like I said, the biggest fear of white supremacy, and they're in Democrat and Republican, so the biggest fear is that they will become the minority in this country. And then the majority will have the same mentality to treat them like they've been treating black folks. And they really will go to war in this country before they allow black folks to ally with a whole lot of other folks and become a majority. That keeps them up. So that's why the black babies are being systematically allowed to die, and the terminate infant mortality rate when you look at that. That's why the mass incarceration of previous Joe Biden when he was a senator. That's why all of the things that you see that limit or reduce the black population is the part of the white supremacy strategy that Sigma Pi Phi helps to maintain. And because you have a black face.
Right. That's
say again?
Because what we're saying is, okay, Skull and Bones. It's known that they copied themselves after Skull and Bones. But I got to tell everybody, that's pirate law. And I know when we get into that type of stuff, we start to forget that black folks was already in the game in the very beginning. It's like black folks has always been in the game. It's like our people think that white people came over here first or something. Like, you know, that's the dumb part about our people. You know, there was no – the Moroccans and the Venetians and the Spanish came over here. And they looked like they were, you know, dark, brown, mulatto. And we keep forgetting this, and we think everything is European, white. I think the school system I think that's a part of the brainwashing too, that to keep us believing the white man is our only enemy in the world. That seems to be kind of crazy.
Well, one of the things I like to do is focus on solutions. And TQR to me is a part of. So with the Educational Institute in TQR, the goal is to have our own elementary, middle, junior high school, and connect them with HBCUs. So that kind of education is necessary, and they are connected to HBCUs and UNCFs, so that there's never a question as to whether they're going to get training or a higher education.
Okay, now, I like that.
This whole concept,
but aren't you saying that the HBCUs, aren't they connected to the Boulay as well? I mean, I found out
many of them are run. Yeah, many of them are run by Boule members or their wives at this point.
Right.
And
why we want to
one of the things that you have to understand is that they have the same mentality. Give you an example. I'm a graduate of Jackson State University. Prior to COVID hitting, the previous president of Jackson State, he was one of my fraternity brothers, and he had agreed to allow me to have a private partner, a public partnership with Jackson State to research out the hydropower plant and apply for some of the funding that had been set aside by the Trump administration for clean energy. After COVID, Jackson State University, you know, this president got in trouble, so he had to resign, and so they brought in another president.
Oh, man.
This president, when I wanted to resume, all of a sudden they decided to bring in a Chinese electrical engineer.
Oh my God.
And they asked the Chinese Professor Goon to literally review my technology, and he came back and said, hey, this technology is not good. We shouldn't do a partnership with it.
Of course.
And so it, you hear this is where the kind of hands in the mix of that. And so I know, you know, my name is pretty much mud with all of them because I'm going to call it out in terms of the nonsense that they're engaging in. Clean energy. You are around.
I must give you some credit. Okay. You are in the mix of where they are at least listening and looking at your technology. Obviously, for whatever reason, China seems to be taking over a lot of the infrastructure here anyway. But what I asked about what you do, because I've seen there's some pretty valid. You got a portal, how you can put the Amazon technology with the drone goes into the side of the house. That was a very good thing.
Yeah, a landing pad.
Right. So let me ask you about black funding, because this is a key here for me to understand where this is happening. You're in another area. It's a lot of black people, I'm sure, rich in Ohio as well. What is it because of? Because everybody does not agree with these fraternities. So do you find any independent blacks that are like just as wealthy in your area to maybe fund some of this high technology? Because it has definitely value. Because some people don't care about it.
Let me explain how this. So a few years ago, I was trying to utilize a program that Obama had passed that allowed crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. And so as I was going through the process, I had originally contacted the Obama administration, their Department of Energy, their Department of Commerce. And their Department of Commerce, despite, you know, Obama talking about clean energy, said, well, we don't have any funds. Contact the Ohio Department of Commerce. And so I contacted the Ohio Department of Commerce, and they said the same thing. We don't have any fund to help renewable energy, despite having given a company called Third Frontier over $1 billion for clean energy investment. But then this is what they did to me. They then forced me to sign a cease and desist order in the state of Ohio. It was their FCC division saying that I couldn't raise money for my clean energy company in Ohio. And their own attorney told me that this was illegal for them to do. But because I didn't have the resources, the attorneys to fight this, I went ahead and signed it because one of the things was it gave me proof and evidence of their corruption. And then one of the guys who worked there, and I don't know whether he was bully or not, but he came out just to smirk at me and look at me. And you know how when people give you that look like they got you? You know, and
right.
I spoke like this normal. And he just smirked and looked at me and walked on away. It's like something strange is happening here because people understand technology and understand clean energy. And the technology is simply using existing components and equipment. The innovation is to remove this from a river or lake and simply store the water and use it. And you can build these buildings downtown anywhere. And then the goal is to sell electricity for a flat fee. Now, you have to understand how disruptive that is to the utility companies and the power companies around the world.
That's like Tesla. You got to go through a Tesla. They want to take what you're trying about, give as minimum price. They want that technology. That's been the fight to me of free energy.
It is, but it's also government-related. COINTELPRO, because one of the things about this is that as I talk about the different mitigation technologies, the Rainmaker drone, which can be used to put out wildfires. So going back for the past, say, 8 to 10 years, I've been talking with California and Western governments, as well as the Obama administration, Trump administration, and now Biden administration, about a technology that could suppress and extinguish wildfires. And they would rather let people burn up and people's homes burn down than have a conversation with someone offering a solution.
That's how insidious this is. That's a hostile takeover. Wow.
And because COINTELPRO is in, not one media company, not one black media company, print publication will even grant me an interview to talk about Rainmaker. the ability to suppress these wildfires. And so that's why I know that it is government, it is Boulé, it is all a collaboration of folks to ensure that none of this works. But I moved on and I created a technology company. So I've been building technology and apps and those kind of things, and something strange kept happening. Even when I finished the technology, somehow someone would come in and hack it and break it. And then I would have to go back and try and fix it and those kind of things. So those kind of games have continued to be played to sort of stifle innovation and creativity, but I don't have any fear. I'm still dedicated to finding a way to funding TQR, which will literally significantly address all of the social determinants that is happening to black folks. It is my purpose.
Let me get to that, because again, I'm gonna take a quick break. Because with my man Charles E. Campbell, the book, y'all got to get it. It makes sense that we learn who our enemy is, and when we get back, we're gonna get into the book a little more. The Art of Black War Against a Black Enemy. I think that's a very, very important conversation. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Dry Bones. We'll be back at you. Get ready. Get your pens and paper ready. We're about to lay it down.
Prejudice. Want a song about it? Like to hear? Here you go.
Free your mind.
My mind can't change my color. That's a true statement. We're your host, Dry Bones. We talking to my man, Charles E. Campbell, about this prolific book about the art of black war against black enemy. Just want to tell everybody we're bringing it all into the line, folks. There's been a lot of controversy about this, brother. And, again, let me just say this. They're in everything, but let's get to the heart of this, that this group seems to take a social justice beginning with W.D. Du Bois and them seem to have always attacked anything but the interests of the Boulé. Most of them were financed by Rothschilds, Carnegies. I mean, we can see that all of the schools that are black are named Wilberforce and named after white people. We see all this in there. We see the stigma. We see Julius Rosenthal, NAACP. We see this is not us. It looks like it's socialists. That have pretty much infiltrated black folks to come along with it during the time of this slavery that happened in this part of the world. Slavery was universal. So somehow it seemed like this party that's doing it. I know you say it's both, but it seems like the Democratic Party seems to infuse this belief that they're helping our people. They're the only ones. I mean, the Republican Party does not go to that lengths, but this party seems to go to extreme lengths to make it look like they're fighting for us. And at the same time, me and you discussed now, the enemy is a black face with a white mind. That's what this book seems to stimulate. Let me get it now to the premise of how this book came into play and give us the chapter that we should be keying in on when we get to the book.
Well, one of the things I wanted to list is the chapters, the boules, yep, as they call them. And I wanted to list a bunch of the folks who were actually members, well-known members throughout history and current today. So I list those, and it's a short read. I actually have an audio version of it as well, so you can listen to it. I think we really just need to know who these people are. And so as they are giving perspectives, my fraternity brother, who is number, I guess, two under Nancy Pelosi, Jim Clyburn. And so when you know who these folks are,
right,
you can see their, you know, what they're pushing. We got a Juneteenth holiday, and I have nothing against the Juneteenth holiday, but voting rights, reparations, all of the things that are meaningful to black folks don't seem to get a vote, despite the Democrats having control of the House, the Senate, and
right,
the presidency. If you can't get things done when you have control of all three, then that's a problem. Because
that's a problem.
Within the Democratic and the Republican, you have white people, and the they are protecting the interest of white people. And you have Boulé members who are there. Bennett Thompson is another one of them. He represents the congressional district out of Mississippi, where I'm from. And he sits there very high ranking. But if you go to the Mississippi Delta and you look at the conditions of black folks in the district, it's appalling. And he's been there probably over 20 years now. And so what we have to do with those who we select who represent us, first we need to know if they're members of this organization, and then we need to hold them accountable for the data. Show me that you are improving the social determinant. Here are the social determinants. And if you cannot improve those, then your leadership should be revoked. And that's the mindset. And politicians, all of them should be held to a standard by which we look at our community and we see where it is and we ask them how they're going to solve these problems, right? Well, and if we vote them in office and they don't solve these problems that we say are our issues, we vote them out and get someone else. And we shouldn't be wedded to the Democratic or the Republican Party. As a matter of fact,
But I will agree with that. We should be, because I told people we should judge. But I will say the policies that I see blatantly in the Democratic Party, even if I didn't vote, I could at least see that one party may, but it doesn't go to the extreme of what this party is. This party is saying that civil rights, which is the key component to this black think tank that we got in this country, is actually giving all the rights away to different groups with different benefactors. I mean, LTB, everybody got gays in their family. Who cares? I'm saying you're going to now give them special treatment for a job because they're LTB. This is what has happened in housing. They might let the transgenders get housing before they let a black person get housing. This is where we're at.
It's called benign and neglect policy.
And that's why we have to have a black empowerment plan, our focus. We have to have the ability to pool our resources and build our own housing, create our own jobs, do the things that Marcus Garvey was trying to do before, you know, the Boulé was allegedly involved in his assassination.
Allegedly, It was a fact. Ain't no legend. It was Black Brotherhood. That's the name, the African Black Brotherhood.
You can tell where that whole interest lies, where it is protecting white supremacy and those who maintain it.
But why would they want to protect white supremacy? Give me your estimation.
Because they have been allowed to be in a position as the higher class. They get access to resources, money. They get access to some of the elite schools. They are the safe black faces in high places. When white supremacy want to implement anything and get black folks accepted, they pull out a black person and put that person there and have him pretend to be you're operating in your interest. And you and black folks have been conditioned that white folks have been our historical enemy and black folks are there to help us. And so they seize all
this.
Hey,
my man.
Hold on.
Meritorious ammunition, man.
Let them finish. We'll get to the question answer after we get to the almost to the 12. But it is meritorious manumission, I'm sure. But the question now we're gonna ask you, since you were saying the statement, each state got its own official. Let's just deal with your area right quick. What do you see as far as if your area is catering to white supremacy and you got a lot of boule in your state, and so. What do we tell you? You say go to different schools. I homeschool all the way through successfully. Everybody know that successfully. We didn't even need no damn HBC, but they graduated with super honors into where they are today. Now I'm asking you, why should we even trust these schools? I mean, why should if we're gonna do it right? Give me your question. Why should we trust?
Because those black institutions. Do have some good people in there. It's okay. Just the structure is to suppress the potential of our young people. Our young people are brilliant. They are, but there's an old mentality of preparing them to be a labor class and
right.
the go to school so you can get a job because
vocational.
Survival. As this.
So
when we flip that and say that no, you can create jobs, you can start companies, you can build wealth, and you can do a lot of the things that people are saying you can't do. But we have to have a comprehensive plan and a structure that would allow for that kind
that,
of
that,
thing
that,
to happen.
Do you see blacks at a higher level? Let's be honest. And all y'all out there, I'm going to give you a chance to ask the brother and how y'all can get the book and the audio as well. Let me ask, because I watch TV just to see the content. And we're in everything. I mean, we got millionaires now on YouTube just eating food. You know, we got people, young people now just streaming. They're making money streaming. So we see the technology.
Yeah.
We got metaverse. We got black folks now that was some of the richest blacks in the world sitting right amongst us. So you are right about the black faith. How do we attack their propaganda then? Because what happens is, me and you might be talking the same language, which we are, but that generation we're trying to reach, we got to reach them through two directions. We got to reach them for what they see and what is true. So they see all these blacks in there doing all these things. We got TV shows. We got everything going on. Does it really look like we are in bad shape? Really, to other groups that's coming here, because I think other groups don't think we are best shape.
We can compete. We have a continent with 1.5 billion Black Africans. We have a diaspora of about 1.2 billion people of African descent. We have the capacity to innovate and compete, but that has to be.
I agree.
Behind a plan to say that we can do this. Give an example. In Nigeria, they have Nollywood, where Nigerians are literally producing a movie a week. And
right.
So here in the U.S., there's all of these artificial structures that say, well, it's going to take millions of dollars to create a movie the way. No.
a couple brothers created a movie using just their iPhone and some software. So what we have to empower our young people with is that their ability to take their creativity, their talents, their culture, and monetize it to get themselves out of poverty, but also to be able to have an impact on their community. It is not just about making money. It is about the term that I coined as black love, loving that which you are, that which produced you. There is a need to pay back, to reinvest in yourselves and your family and your community and your people. And
okay,
so that is my mission, to be able to do that. And you start with a plan.
Right.
And
plan?
People
hold
can
on.
Go.
What's the plan? People, because the plan, hold on, because the plan is, you got to tell us this plan, because the plan must start like a micro. So it, macro.
Well, teach you
the plan. The plan would be what, to like to tell the youth, because the older people are they listening? I don't know, but the young people seem like the ones we can get.
I'll give you the website. So teachur.com is the website. It's a national comprehensive black empowerment plan with five national institutes. That's the design. And then to have branches of these institutes in our over 150 cities where you have a significant black African-American population. Because when you do that, you have a market where we are. So also part of the plan is to partner with black farmers to help them grow food and then have our own ability to process those food where you're creating manufacturing processing jobs and then have grocery stores in all of our communities and businesses and restaurants so you can deliver the food to that, to be able to supply.
Let's go with that premise, because I'm not against that premise. But that premise.
With technology,
talk about technology. We got the black people through Obama saying that they want universal income. So that means that they're going to start taking jobs and giving them to AI. So where's AI fitting all this? Because you're talking about us doing this stuff, but then at the same time, black folks is promoting AI. I mean, to me, black people are promoting it.
You know, with my technology company, I love technology, so I'm not opposed to AI. AI is the tool, and because my plan is to use AI because AI can give you information and data that you don't always see. AI can put some things together so that, you know, those who are literally plotting and planning and trying to disrupt things, I'm saying ownership of it. You know, Google shouldn't be the only one creating AI.
I agree.
We can create AI and use it for a purpose. And so that's the goal of technology, is to build it ourselves.
Farming and all that is what I agree with you. I'm just trying to get people to understand that the concept of what we're talking about is not nothing new, because Elijah Muhammad and them all have farms. Yahweh had. We lost these farms somehow. I guess the Boule attack was really that good. They were able to take all these farms from us. Or have to give the farms up. So let's go with the premise that that we don't have new farms, but we got small farms. That's only for small areas that can only do their municipalities. We're talking about a national grid of farmers that could feed each region. That might be a kind of a thing that we have to sit down and say, is it locally first?
Well, it should be local support,
the main support.
Well, one of the mitigation technologies that my company is currently developing is a technology for vertical farming. It's a machine that allows you to grow in your backyard a number of plants on this machine vertically without you having to do any labor. So those kind of innovation, and if you scale it up, for smaller farmers, and you scale it up for commercial farmers, and you allow the technology to be done utilizing Africa, we can begin to grow and have a system of moving food around, and then you have a network of HBCUs and UNCFs that are buying food every day to feed the students. So we have a network that's not connected. And what TQR does is connect all the dots.
I want to get everybody connected out, but then, you know, we got to look at this as with some fact. We're getting all y'all on the line soon, so get ready. We're going to High Noon. You know High Noon, we say hot on the Helios. Let me ask you, because you're saying these HBCs, you're naming these groups that are bootlegged up, yet I don't see how that could go if you're going to deal with a group that see that. We can't have you getting over master's money. So I don't see how that could happen without a battle. And then you say we got to take them out. If we're going to teach how to get rid of people, then they got to learn civics. Politics never taught really properly. So basically we're letting the group say, oh, we're going to do this for you, do this, but you're going to still go through us. I don't think we're going to get anywhere if we have to deal with the HBC.
Brother Campbell expound on his, how do we don't want to go at these boulets or the ones that are not knowing the good and bad. How do we attack them? Because he did mention, make sure they expose themselves or explain that they are part of it.
One.
And then
that
how do we
one.
Deal with them from there? What's the next phase? I think in the book he outlines that we then ask them, are you going to be an enemy to the people or don't harm the people? I think that you can elaborate on that, Brother Campbell. I think you have to
expose
them.
When you expose them or force them to expose themselves, they lose the power. Because now you understand what they represent. And many of them, and I say just like when you join a fraternity, a lot of them are legacies. So they're grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, all that. And they are indoctrinated in a life mm-hmm. of privilege and opportunities that are handed to them. And most of them don't really know the true mission of what the organization is doing. They're just becoming members. But when it gets down to the leadership and those who understand that they are the advisors to the king, they are the people who are in charge with the responsibility of subjugating black folks. You can only be subjugated if you allow yourself to be subjugated.
We're not going to debate that because you just told us that Jim Clyburn, your fraternal brother, who is beloved to this day by all of South Carolina for all the dirt he has done, and yet, this is going to be the problem. If you look at these pages, these young people, they're grooming young people. They're grooming. If you look at all these politicians that are old, their staff is young. So they're doing the grooming already. This is a no-brainer. So they're doing the grooming. So we see that our people are actually being groomed into these positions to keep the boule in power. And then by us having these people in power, and then we know they're in fraternal orders. We know this already. It's not nothing new. The battle is how you going to fight an enemy without – it's got to be a bloodshed at some point in time where you're not going to keep going through a group that's going to tell you to take shots next week.
I think, and what I propose and teach you are is that, you know, there is a political
Political, right?
And TQR, there's an institute that deals specifically with politics and the legal side of that. So when I crafted TQR, I wanted to have a national comprehensive black empowerment startup, which means that we get to control and do the things that we need to do in our cities. And with Boule being who they are, when you expose them for what they are, they lose their power. So they can sit up in their meetings, but when you hear their perspective or when you hear what they're saying, then you know where they're coming from. And so in the book, I list a number of these folks, like Roland Martin and LeBron James and Michael Jordan. So when you hear them and you see their perspective, you get to understand what they are about. You might love them for what they do in politics or in sports or entertainment, but the reality of what they have been doing, and they're not rookies at this. They have been doing this. And remember, they are the richest group of black folks connected in this country. One of their members, you know, is the billionaire who paid off Morehouse students a couple years, Robert Smith. So they're well connected.
So, and when you're talking about pulling strings, they're in politics. So Jeb Johnson, I think, who ran Homeland Security under Obama, when you talk about Alfonso Jack, when you talk about all of these folks, they're all connected. And
exactly.
And when I say that, they don't operate like the normal nations or fraternities. They operate like a mafia in terms of the stuff that they're doing. So you can't think of them operating like we would operate in a fraternity.
Just think if you was down here in Miami, you wouldn't even see white folks, frankly. You'll see all Spanish. So, you know, this thing is even bigger than that because, unfortunately, these groups are now taking their own pledges and to taking over more black people because, obviously, immigration, which we need to talk about through politics, like you said. So let's give them the site to go on. I'm going to take some calls. Give them the site. They can reach you. How can they reach you?
They can get the book. They can get the book at www.cearlcampbell.com. cearlcampbell.com. So www.cearlcampbell.com. They can go to my clean energy and climate mitigation website. That's at AHECENERG.com. A heck energy without the Y.com. And TQR, they can read that at www.tqr.com. And so
I'm gonna send the links for them. Stay with us. Don't go nowhere. I still want to make because I got a lot of questions for everybody out here because I know y'all got calls. Y'all high. I want to ask them. They may want to ask you something, bro. So stay with us. Don't go nowhere. Let's just say this, everybody. There's more to the story. We gotta get it more because see, all this farming, I agree with it. I agree with it. But y'all remember Farm Aid? Y'all remember Farm Aid? And instead of y'all worried about the farmers back then, Dr. Claude Anderson told you this. Y'all let it just go right by like y'all didn't need the farmers. Now, the farmers now are being subsidized not to grow food. We here in Florida. I'm right around farmland. And let me tell you, ain't nothing but Spanish people who are the farmers now. So I don't know where y'all at in your area. Ohio definitely ain't like Florida. Florida definitely ain't like New York State. I told you we all 10 regions, and it's about to get shaky. Now, here's where it's going to get deep after this program. See, y'all talk a lot of stuff about facts, but facts got to matter. How could Norman Rockwell, anybody know who Norman Rockwell is? Norman Rockwell was a neo-Nazi. People don't realize how far this stuff goes back into Nazism and Black's been in the whole game because guess who was connected to the neo-Nazis? You can call them whatever you want. Boule, I don't know if they're about that. I know they were Masons. The Nation of Islam. Wonder how good this friendship is. Take a listen to the past because we're about to get hot on the heels. Can't let this go by.
Now let's put the subject of the Negro. Communism lies to the Negro. They say, we're for you. We sympathize with you. Our heart breaks for you. And then they use them viciously to destroy society and destroy civilization. They don't help him. Most Negroes are getting wise to this. The communists go in there and they use the Negro ruthlessly and viciously to destroy society, destroy the Negro, destroy everybody. And what does democracy do? Democracy, boy, what they preach. But I live right there in Washington, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I can tell you that the ones that do the biggest preaching about mixing with the Negroes, those are the ones that live down there in the places where they can't even drive in there. They're not allowed anywhere near. Their kids don't go to Negro schools. They have nothing to do with them. It's pure hypocrisy, just as rotten as the communists. In fact, maybe more rotten. Democracy and communism in these respects are exactly the same. Nazism says to the Negro, we don't want to hurt you, we don't want to persecute you, but we feel that you're not culturally as mature as we are. We don't want you to live right next door to us. We tell the truth to Negro. And most of you people, white people, if you're perfectly honest, will say that that's the truth. And you all know it. And yet when you get next to a Negro, you're afraid to tell him that. You're afraid you want to be real sociable and nice, so you lie to him. And all this does is hurt him and hurt you. There is one great Negro leader that I admire, and I understand that I hope I can be helpful in getting him here, and that's either Elijah Muhammad or Malcolm X. Now, these are great leaders. I wish to God we had one white leader of the stature of Malcolm X, just one, in our government. If you don't believe me, you wait till he stands up here and talks to you. That's a man. When you see that man, you'll see a man that'll stand up and talk to you, right up to you, square and fair. He won't cringe or kowtow or black tom or anything else, and neither will he be arrogant. He's a man and he's a leader. Now, those are the kind of leaders that the Negro people need, not Arthur Spingarn of the NAACP or Marvin Rich of CORE, neither one of them who are black. As I say, I'm not going to go into any other further details, but the Negro people need leadership by their own people, and they got them, good leaders. And if we will back Elijah Muhammad and his type of leader, you will see the race problem solved, and that's what the Nazis say. Now, I could go, I've got some more here, but I haven't got time to go into all of them. What I'm trying to show you is that on every single point you take, economics, women, any other things that I've gone into, race, spiritual ideas, business, communism, and democracy are basically the same thing. They talk a little different, but they do.
Now, that was Norman Rockwell, everybody, a neo-Nazi during the time of Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, and you hear what he was telling his own people. How come that ain't talked about? The Boulay block of that. The Boulay block a lot of our history. They want you to think everything is being done on the up and up. Malcolm X, once he told the truth, look what happened to him. Y'all talked about Garvey. Garvey was done in, and y'all heard it on our program, by the African Blood Brotherhood. Look it up. Ain't no white people had to do nothing. They don't need white people because black people is very well capable of taking over all it's doing. You don't think black people are into sex prostitution? They ain't in sex prostitution? Not at all.
Pimp.
Africans ain't into sex prostitution. I could care less if Africa really wanted us, according to Claude Anderson, who said they should be blamed for reparations first. We blaming the wrong crew. That's why I know we can't know history good. How are you going to blame white people? White people ain't start no slavery. That's a fact. Somebody tell me I'm lying. Dr. Claude Anderson told you, if you believe in Claude Anderson so much, he said, if Africa really loved us, they'll give us dual citizenship and some money. How about that, Akon? Should I play what he said about black people this week? Come on, let me take some calls now. It's time to get high on the Helios. We ain't got time to play. 9927. Thank you for holding so long, sister. 9927. Okay, they got their head up. Open mics right quick. What y'all got to say about all y'all been hearing? Y'all see my man been saying.
Like I said, I'm in Chicago, so my perspective is different from everybody else's. This shit is done here for black people. It's done. Thanks to Obama, people believing in Obama, people still believing in this mayor. The Cook County president here, both black women, they see COVID and race. That's it. I'm
COVID
trying my best
race.
To get the fuck up out of here. COVID and race,
COVID
that's
and race.
It.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Here we got the neo-Nazi. A neo-Nazi. Go look them up.
Hey,
telling y'all and tell you that the communists.
And some of us don't want to read, bro. We don't want to study and research. You can't tell them shit. So, hey, it is what it is.
I hear more calls.
Hey,
go
Bones.
Ahead. Let me get somebody. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody.
Hey, Bones.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Bones.
Go ahead. Go. I hear you. Go.
As a non-active member of Alpha Phi Alpha, everything the brother says, I concur.
Exactly.
They,
no doubt.
The Boule, like he said, they're known as monarchs. Their membership, if you ain't a six-figure nigga, you can't pay them dues, you can't get in. They're consisted of all the top African elite that are businessmen, whatever, in every branch of economics or science or empowerment that you could find. And I saw it myself when I came in, and you know, they only appear when it's time to vote or you you try to implement something new that could be refreshing organization that would uplift the community, then they
like
come
him.
In and
like
and, yeah,
Charles.
And then they pull yeah. Yeah, they pulled yep. the bully. They pulled the bully movement, saying, "Oh, you know,
brother
I've been
right.
here longer, you know."
That's
and then
right.
everybody goes along with it, and then they shoot down your ideas.
Let me ask you a question, because all y'all did listen. This is going on in every region. I can only say the farming. He does have a product that you can farm. It could be purchased in your backyard. For those of you who like to really get close to the herbs, it doesn't take a lot. It's excellent as far as positioning in small areas where you don't have room. So these are things that you can look at. Also, let me just say this too. Now, I know y'all don't like to hear this type of shit, but see, in a real war, who doesn't talk logistics? If you do have a farmer or somebody you can trust that's on the road, on the side, like we got here in Florida, because everybody knows, I'm telling the truth, we got them all over the place. They don't mind selling no vegetables staying around here. So we can get food at this moment. I can't speak for none of y'all in your region, but I'll tell you like this. The farming ain't looking like the old time black folks. So that's where I'm telling you the reality is in my area. I can't speak for your area, but in my region, the region of four,
right.
We got a lot of people growing shit here. Now, let me ask y'all a question. I'm trying to get more of y'all involved with this. He mentioned something about the boule and casting them out. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all know how long we've been talking this.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, come on. We got Jet Magazine people.
And the AKAs are in the courts, all in the court systems here in Chicago and Cook County.
Right.
Alphas
exactly.
and AKAs.
Right. So I know this already. And they killed Dr. King. So I already know. But see, here's where it gets deep. I understand why they're Greeks, because they look like the Greeks from the ancient days.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear that part.
Right.
See, what better people to pull the ritual off than those who did it from the beginning?
Wow.
Man, come on, y'all. What do you think they say?
No, the biggest issue
who
is
it over, or those who turned it over, who turned over control, you know,
yeah,
from the original.
Yeah, they turned over control. Look,
black,
Mary Bethune-Cookman.
Black faces.
No, Mary Bethune-Cookman, y'all remember that show we did, Brother Luck? Y'all came up with the idea. We looked up for fraternities. We seen Mary Bethune-Cookman had a secret meeting with Roosevelt. Remember that? Remember that on Ebony
yep.
magazine? We
yep.
come on,
Lady
y'all.
Bird.
We don't know what she said to them. Yeah, Lady Bird. Ain't that something? Lady Bird. She. I'm trying to tell y'all. Twitter. Hope y'all ready for this.
Hey, it is.
I hope y'all ready for this, because I told y'all.
It's one thing that we never had in a long time. Think tanks and overall a code of ethics.
Yeah,
we don't necessarily have a code of ethics. If I could do something to help my family and my children, even if it's going to hurt my neighbor, most of us will do that shit. You know, but the bad thing about it is we see what our people are doing, but we don't snitch on their ass and we don't try to correct them. You know, well, why are you doing this? It's going to hurt all of us.
Man. Thank
you. You know,
because I'm telling you, it's happening. B-Lo, I hope y'all listen to B-Lo. B-Lo in New York State got killing. Florida got killing all day long, shooting the wrong people, hitting this dude. And you know what? They got this rule. Now, the police ain't going to look for them. Because remember, the policies is you hate the police. They got in everybody's mind that black folks hate the police.
Drive
so, on. Think about it. Go ahead.
You're forgetting one part of that equation also. The police know what's going on in the hood. They'll grab one of them boys, and if they grab the scariest one, and they'll make him a snitch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they could do it.
You tell us who's doing
it. They could do it, no doubt about it. I'm just saying, but for the most part, they've been reluctant to do anything because of the fact that they got laws in certain states where you can sue the police and get their house on lien and everything. New York State, and I can't speak for all other states, but there's states like New York where the police, maybe Cali, you touch them, now they could be sued if they figure. So they reluctant. So, yeah, they're going to get the real people they tell them to get. When the people are getting chased, they're getting chased by ATF. They're getting chased by the big boys when they get a bunch of cops after you.
Can I advertise to somebody?
Go ahead. I don't care
how
you do it.
There's a brother on YouTube. There's a brother on YouTube called Real Naga, N-A-G-A, which is what we really are. Moors, Nagas, whatever. Moor means love. Moor means melanated, whatever the case may be. But check that brother out. He is one of the individuals that I've heard so far talking about the bond. You know, everything on this planet, well, at least in this so-called free world, has to have insurance. And insurance is a bond. That's what you do to shut people down. There was a guy who got shot in Charleston. He was driving his brown Cadillac. Cop pulled behind him. Cop made him pull into a park. The guy had child support, which is another trap on melanated men, used by the courts more so than the women. Women get mad at men and go to them, but most of the time, if they try and get any benefits, anything like that, then the courts go after, you know, the man. But anyway, my point is this. He thought that's what it was. He thought he was going to get arrested for not paying child support, and he ran slow because he probably wasn't healthy. He couldn't run fast. It's in the video. He's running slow. Cop dropped his taser and emptied his 9 in the guy's back. He didn't hit him every time. There was a guy on the outside of the fence that recorded it. I think it happened four or five years ago. But anyway, my point is this. A melanated cop came around from the other side of the park, seen everything, took the Caucasian cop's thigh, and he lost his job. I think he might have got jail time for going on the side of the white cop. That cop got fired, or maybe somebody took his bond, in another town in South Carolina, and he went and worked in Charleston, and he probably did the same thing there. But overall, just like what you're saying,
and the main people
that's doing these things, and the main people that has that shit on YouTube is white people talking about going after bonds and things like that. I put in a group chat that a school in North Carolina, a white lady, she talked to the board, and she told all of the people, the board members, that making children wear masks is doing things emotionally and to their respiratory system. And if they don't correct that error, she's going to go after their insurance bond. She said it on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Right. And hold on. You had a bunch of I remember the more of them saying they were giving you all the laws about the bonds and everything else. And we are on bonds. The whole country's falling because the bonds that we have out for our security bonds for America is in default. So we are going to suffer from bonds. So that's not something that I could even say that's real. But, again, go on to court sometimes, everybody. Don't take it lightly because I know you see these videos, these people going to court and stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. Just wait till you really have to go because they won't show up. The ones that if you even pay them to show up, they ain't coming to show you how to do it. That's where I have a problem with because.
Once again, Drybone, we gotta try to line things up, and I think Brother Campbell and the TRU, we try to go to where we at and set up a structure, meaning that
everybody should know where we at because first of all, you here, where we at here? Tell me where we at in Miami, so you could just tell because you ain't the same way where he at in Ohio. Where we at here? Tell him on this line. Where are we at in Miami so we can say, well, okay, this is Miami. How do we attack Miami? Because Miami ain't the same as Ohio. I can tell you that right now. How do we attack Miami?
I mean it because I know you in the past I've always advocated scaling, and I think it was a form of scaling. In terms of, like, all the blacks in Florida, we're not united from native-born from native-born to immigrant, right?
This is a show all over the place. I gave you a minute. Let me hear everybody out there. In your area, are you the minority or the majority in your area? This is
minority. Minority.
Okay. Somebody else?
Minority.
Let me hear
Chicago.
Minority.
Okay. Minority.
Minority. Cuban Hialeah.
Okay, The blacks in our cities are college graduates, and most of them are municipality jobs. The brother just said that. He's a very smart brother. We know who the fraternity people is. I work with a bunch of them. And you're absolutely right. They got Bethune-Cookman on their car. They got different things on their car. And guess what? Yeah. When you go to HR, I'm talking real talk. When we go to HR and you think they're going to help you, oh, hell no.
That's the problem. That's what I say. We're not united. We don't have the meeting spots where we forcefully bring all the aspects together.
and have that dirty conversation. Have those crazy conversations that say, listen, this is what I feel about what you guys feel, and this is how we feel about what you guys feel. But the problem is that we got a common enemy. All our areas are under attack. The black cities are disappearing. That they're being gentrified. Whether you African American Native, or you a Tether, or you are an immigrant, for example, right?
Y'all saying y'all black? Hold on, you saying he black? What a brother? He should be on my. You saying that the Boule? This is what the premise of this book is about. I just skimmed through the book. I've seen the same characterization that I've been seeing in most of these books. We know the blacks are there. The blacks ain't taking no responsibility on calling out Africa. How about let's call out Africa?
Well, before we go there, let me say,
hold on. How can you glorify Africa this much, and then Africans come here? I guarantee you, I have tried. You have tried to have an African forum with Africans, and you are not culturally in the same feeling with them. They even tore. They wouldn't even recognize Haiti. Do you know everybody Africa did not want to recognize Haiti? Do you understand that? What I'm about to tell y'all. This is where we deal with. Let's deal with the reality.
It's
trying to unite yourself with somebody who don't want to unite with you.
That's my point.
It's information drive, bro.
Hey,
let me give you a quick story, right? Let me give you a quick story. Let me give you a quick example, right?
You give me a story about what they did. I don't know why.
No. I'm trying to tell you to open the door to conversation. We got to line everybody up. I'm gonna give you an example. Have you ever heard of the Americans? The Americans were the black African Americans exclaves that joined the British Army that became the colonial Marines. And guess what they did? They were responsible for burning down Washington. You know, there's an adverse hate in the system towards African Americans because of that history that most African Americans don't even know, some Caribbeans don't even know. And you know where those colonial Americans end up? They ended up in Trinidad, southern part of Trinidad, right? But Trinidadians don't even know that those descendants are African Americans that originated here in this country.
I agree, but the problem is
it is that type of bonding that's not taking place when we have these conversations. Let us know that, forget how you feel. You're going to have to understand that we have a war against blackness. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, you got me totally together with this. I'm saying there's no other way. I'm just adding more fire to the blackness, because if the black people, I'm proving the black people, just by Africa not accepting Haiti and Haiti loves it, shows you that there's no real conduity, because why would that even happen?
But with this global lockdown, this is going beyond color now, y'all. This is beyond color.
That's beyond
lockdown,
color.
Death,
there you go.
Genocide. Right. They don't give a fuck what color you are now. The people who's doing it is going to kill their own. So we need to stop the race shit right now. It's gone beyond that.
We got to be careful there. We really got to be careful there.
Well,
now you're walking on thin ice.
Well, we already on thin ice. Let's just talk about right now. Obama, y'all, this information. Now, this is what Obama told everybody. And everybody I know black right now, even except on this line, is now realizing Obama is Boule. Come on, y'all.
And
stop
mulatto.
Stop the game.
And mulatto.
Stop the game playing. Listen.
The challenge for workers in countries like mine today is technology. And the biggest challenge for your new president, when we think about how we're going to employ more people here, is going to be also technology, because artificial intelligence is here and it is accelerating. And you're going to have driverless cars, and you're going to have more and more automated services. And that's going to make the job of giving everybody work that is meaningful tougher. And we're going to have to be more imaginative. And the pace of change is going to require us to do more fundamental reimagining of our social and political arrangements to protect the economic security and the dignity that comes with a job. It's not just money that a job provides. It provides dignity and structure and a sense of place and a sense of purpose. And so we're going to have to consider new ways of thinking about these problems, like a universal income, review of our work week, how we retrain our young people, how we make everybody an entrepreneur at some level. But we're going to have to worry about economics if we want to get democracy back on track.
Now, they talking about the great, he telling everybody about the Great Reset.
The Green New Deal.
The
so you got mindless niggas. Hey, just salute you right here real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
My man said, I heard somebody say something about Wells Fargo, right? Okay, yeah. Wells Fargo, they got a suit against Wells Fargo now for discrimination with these badass loans. So you mean y'all niggas can't take y'all money out of Wells Fargo, man? All y'all that got money with Wells Fargo, bro.
Yeah, they could.
That's it. Take the money.
Simple shit. Take your money out of certain something.
That goes back to Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King said that before they killed him.
Now, I'm telling you, my man said it earlier. If y'all would say, I hate both parties, here's what I can understand. You hate both parties, both folks. If you guess, oh, I hate both of them. Take your, I do, no problem. Just take your name off. Take your name off of voting. Just put independent. Just all you got to do. After about a fucking month, they realize it. Now both parties is wondering. Think about it. Both parties have seen black people drop out of the parties, period. All independent.
Holy Jesus, man. What the niggas doing now?
Oh, the seismic shit.
Dry bones. Let me say this real quick. I'm going back to the clip you just played. That same person who was talking is going to be responsible for displacing a lot of black people in the same neighborhood. He's putting up that presidential center, and they're supposed to be building, Tiger Woods is responsible for building a golf course over there. But guess what? Some people are still stuck on his color and him being the black president here. They're ignoring all that. So that's
right.
Why I'm saying this whole race thing
is
fucking up a lot of black people.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. The difference between us and, let's say, those Hispanics, right? The reason they can pull together and probably four families live in one house, and within a year or so, they set everybody off because they have one cohesion.
They're not,
if we don't force the issue of color amongst ourselves to get over that, how can four black families from different regions or different cultures get together to go to war?
They're nationalists.
No, it's I'm trying to explain to you that
culture and nationalism, same thing. Because think about it.
You got Cubans hiring Mexicans.
Hold
you got Mexicans hiring Honduran. They ain't from the same place.
They got their flags on their
and
houses.
And I don't hear them on the radio talk about, you from Honduras. You a tether. I don't hear them. You say you from Cuba. You know what I'm saying? You an immigrant. You don't hear them talking that speech.
Okay, let me ask you what you're doing. Hold on. Yeah, somebody going to speak because you're going too far. I asked you, Dorrell. Dorrell, what group is in Dorrell, everybody?
Venezuela.
Let's go to Hialeah. What group is in Hialeah, everybody?
That's Cubans.
Okay, let's go to your area. East Miami. What group is in East Miami? Northeast.
Creole, Haitian.
Okay, right there tell you we tribal. So if we tribal.
No, I'm going to tell you this, though. I'm going to tell you this. In my field.
We try to get everybody involved.
Yeah,
if you got your car on, turn it. We don't want to hear no cars.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to tell you this. When the Haitian took over North Miami, right?
That's okay.
The building department structure consists of a number of white folks.
Right
now, it's an African American that heads the billing department. That's what I feel with. They hired an African American who's head of the billing department. But I'm trying to explain to you that when we get this shit running, when we get the cylinders running right, it'll work. You know what I'm saying? But before that, there was no such thing as an African American holding that high position in the billing department issuing permits in the city.
Hey, drop on.
If she's boule like y'all said.
Man, the engineer still there. Is the engineer still there?
Brother Campbell, is there? How you been?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let me ask you a question.
Can I ask you a question? Can I talk to my man for a minute, y'all?
Yeah.
Hey, my man, did you talk to...
Start, brother. Go ahead.
Did you talk to the black farmers, my cousin John Boyd? And another thing is, whatever organization you start, don't put no black on the shit, man. You got to move in silence like a stealth, man. Just say it's our shit. What's up, man? I'm sick of this. Everybody want to put something black, man. Get the, like my man Derek said, get the color off of there, man. Just say this, ah, shit, we going to do it. Forget that color thing, man, because you're going to draw attention to yourself like your shit. You're going to draw supplies, man. You got to learn how to drop, art of war, man.
No, so the art of war, hold on, because that's what he's saying. The art of war means deal with stealth. Go in stealth. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, brother. You answer that. I'll let you answer that. What we think we should go in stealth?
Well, for me, I am a passion about black people, those who produce me. I can't get away with it. I unapologetically love black people. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's and because you're dealing with COINTELPRO, nothing you do is secret. These
right.
folks already know exactly everything
okay.
that you do. So even if you're trying to do something secret, the people you got to communicate with, and they're listening in on the communication. So I decided I'm not even going to stress myself with trying to have anything secret. I love black people. I've got a plan to try and uplift black people, empower black people, and I found a way with technology and clean energy to solve problems related to climate change that I'm going to use to fund TGY. And when that's innovated, I move into technology. So the old goal is to change the
like
social and economic
like
conditions
capitalism?
Of
now,
black
like capitalism?
People.
Do you like capitalism too? Capitalism part of your
problem? Yeah, I'm not opposed to capitalism as a
okay.
system.
I
just practice or have the concept of a socialized capitalism where you literally
socialized
make
capitalism.
Money. And what you do with that money is reinvest it in the things in your community and in your society that help improve
now,
the community. You can buy all the things you need.
Do we have to go far in looking at that? Because I looked at the history of us, and up until when we got out of the slavery indoctrination of law they had here and there, we were the most prosperous people. Bar none. We had all the Assyrian rights. We had all the crafts. We were the one who was fixing the horses. We were the one because we were already doing it. We were the one who had all the businesses. We had everything. What policy changed that, in your estimation, that made us be the most prosperous, particularly, and the question I want to ask you, if people had who were slaves. Hold on. But people, I'm going to ask you, if people had slaves, too. I'm going to ask you this. They get free. There's two parties. Matter of fact, there's quite a few parties. But the party they picked was the Republican Party. And that party, if we look at that history, goes with Native American history as being a republic. Why would we be so against black folks actually reinstating their original government over here, which would be the republic? Because we've been teaching blacks to hate the republic. What's your thought about that?
Program.
As a part of TQR, I think we really do need to have our own political party. And we need to base that on politicians who can provide solutions to the problems that the people are facing. One of the things, the big challenge is with politicians who talk nonsense because they don't have to talk about solutions. They just use buzzwords like jobs and all of the kind of nonsense. When you played the clip of Obama, I remember when he set aside money for clean energy, and I applied for that, and it was denied. And then he turned around and gave two white boys $535 million to build solar panels. And 1 year later, Solyndra Solar filed bankruptcy. And then it was exposed that they gave contributions to his campaign, which is why they got the contract. And here's a black man with a revolutionary technology, innovative, can't get a dime to build or research that. So politicians are good at talking out the side of their mouth.
I feel bad for you too, man, because you even pledged. I don't know. You must have made a member mad or something because you pledged, and they still don't help you give nothing. That's why I don't understand this. You pledged. You went through the whole thing. You did this, that, this. And your idea, to me, it's something that one of your fraternity brothers would have been willing to invest in based on the fact that it's not political. It's not political. It's actually
You have to remember, our grand marshal is Boulé. It's Boulé. And many of the folks in the leadership. So when I had conversations with them, at one point they were interested in me offering a percentage for their investment, but that went away, and there's never been any serious response to that. Brothers don't like to talk about the real issues. They want to build in this, live in this bubble where all they have to do is mandated programs. And so when you love black people, no organization comes before that. None. Because when you love black people, you feel the pain of these babies. You feel the pain of our folks who are trapped.
But which was worse? Like, okay, for instance, I'm going to get some more calls, y'all. Planned Parenthood, y'all. I mean, Planned Parenthood, y'all heard the clip on this. Look how many blacks defend Planned Parenthood. And I wonder, I said, well, damn. So I'm starting to realize that we may not know our history that good to see that, well, maybe this is coming out of us in some form or fashion. Because you know how many black scientists there are? It's tons of them, y'all. Tons. I mean, when I find out that there's a black person actually is in the laboratories or some of these places, and not just black America or black India, blacker than some of y'all. If you want to go with this black stuff all day, they right there. Now, here's the difference. Y'all say they come over here.
One's in the White House.
Here's the
vice president.
Y'all don't want to admit that when these people come here, they come with a program. They come with a program already set up.
They come with a plan.
We're going to give y'all houses. This is what the government say. We're going to give y'all houses. You can put as many of them as you can fit in the house. And we did that in the beginning, too. We used to have rent parties. Y'all forgot our people had rent parties where all of us would help each other.
Right.
Forgot your history. We used to do all this. It's nothing new under the sun. All I'm saying to y'all is before we reinvent this new wheel, we better look at what our people did. They was a little more real about the facts of what took place. We got to realize that black folks were more united, too.
And most of them were more united.
But what y'all forget, they had structure. They had structure, too, for people. They had structure because they knew of their common enemy. They knew they had a common enemy that was really coming at them.
Or maybe, let's just say organized, too. Throw that word in there, too.
The illusion now is to remove that concept of a common enemy and have your people on the other side fighting, saying the color doesn't matter. The minute we bit into that, it looks like that's when everything kind of just went to hell. Because
the point I'm trying to make is to my man, black is a state of mind. That state of mind, not the fucking color. Quit the label. Just use your state of mind, and we black. Instead of that damn label shit. That's the point I'm trying to make, man.
Look at the brother. Has a nice program that teach all you think. Like I said, that's gonna allow. I think it's a brilliant concept to go to where we at as a collective and then start building structure.
We're terrible right now.
We talk about blacks in Florida. The blacks in the South, how hardly have any relations with the blacks in the north part of Florida. We don't even know what our brothers is going through in the panhandle, what they're going through in the middle of Florida.
Your section. I can't tell you how you live it because each section – it's got its own dichotomy, their own structure, their own characteristics. I'm on the West Coast.
I know.
I'm on the East Coast, but here's the problem with everybody. If you keep saying that, just for instance, people come in here, and I'm going to be honest about it. During the Boule time, the man said it, immigration, they wrote that immigration would be the demise of the so-called black America that's already been here for a long period. It's going to be the demise because these people coming over here, based off a color look, like, oh, they color, they the same of us. No, they not. They got different mores. So they come here as a group, as they say, we're going to give you. Remember, they don't come saying black either, like y'all say. They say other. They say other.
Under the banner of sanctuary state, sanctuary city.
That's a division's perpetrated to keep the divide divisions in line. For example,
I heard a lot of black Americans telling
the Haitians at the border to hold their own nuts, but then you got 100,000 Ukrainians just flew in with no type of screening, but one word to say hold up. I can accept it if it's spread across the whole board.
I told you,
but it's like to me.
We agree.
Let me say real quick. Elon Musk is an African American.
He's a European descendant born in Africa. Don't call him an African American.
He's
a European descendant born in South Africa. Don't play that type of word game with intelligent people. He's a European descendant born in Africa, in South Africa. He's not an African American.
He's South African.
When you take it further, he is a European descendant born in South Africa. He's not even African.
He was born in Africa.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're trying to leverage that at a higher level in the argument. It's not when you take it further.
You want to protect Africa. That's
but he's a European descendant. He's a European descendant.
Again,
colonizing descendant.
I got an anecdote.
I'm about to mute some of y'all because y'all getting on my nerve with all the yelling. I'm going to tell you straight up. Don't start the yelling shit. I ain't got no problem muting. Because we actually, y'all, we understand it's emotional. We're trying to get y'all understanding that you in different regions. Everybody's not going to think the same. And again, you're on the same belief. You're on the same belief. But you can't tell somebody about what somebody should be doing in their area when your area is all screwed up as well. All we can say is, where is the commonality that we do have? Well, there's one commonality we have. We all see that we're being overtaken. That's one.
That's right. We got to put in work. We got to put in work.
All
the slaves came from different parts of Africa. They had to come together and realize, God damn it, we got to get the slave master off our back. They weren't all the same from the same tribes.
I got to do this because this is the keep staying stay because you, bro, I don't even know y'all was going to go this far with this, but I got to play Dr. Claw. I got to play Dr. Claw because, see, this is where the perspective, and if once we get this thing right here in perspective about we keep going at, but to me, it's already taught. You said Horowitz. Remember you said Horowitz taught a lot of our black Boulay,
the anthropologist.
Now, remember, that could be totally for disinformation to keep us always at Africa because they're the ones told us that we was from Africa. Basically, they thesis is what we actually saying that this so-called African concept come from. So I'm trying to figure out the historical side is it's two stories to this. It is. Just like your wife lied to you, you lied to your wife, you lied to your girlfriend, you lied to your girlfriend, lied to you. It's two sides. Somebody only gave us one side. That's just
and your side chick.
Side chick. Everybody lying to each other. That's like the real world. That's the real world.
Everybody's spinning game.
Everybody's spinning game. Keep saying until I find this clip because I had to play this because I said, man, this is.
Well, you know, going back to the anthropologist, here's my situation with the anthropologist, right, who helped shape the black history out of Africa.
Yeah, make it quick. Yeah, make it quick for the other here because.
His destructive analysis pretty much perpetuated the matriarchy from a European perspective in the black community where they decided to empower the black female because of his poor understanding of the patriarchal system from the African perspective. He was a Jewish guy, you know, probably reared up in a masculine dominated form of religion,
That's not the issue. The issue is black folks was taught by this dude for years and carried on, even though they could have easily seen it. And then if I see it don't make sense, and I ain't that bright, and they went to school supposedly, they could see it. All right, one more comment.
What he did was that he helped shape the policies that helped turn the black female towards the state or the welfare system being empowering her over the black male. His students, however, the black brothers that study under him did not understand that aspect, so they did not go into policy changing. They argued against that. It's historical fact, and I'm going to stay quiet.
Brother Charles said they argued against him. They will argue against anybody for some strange reason. They take an oath that's probably well, wish we could all hear this, that oath, because that oath got to be serious, and that initiation must be serious to get to that level, to be able to be that devious that y'all say y'all love y'all people so much that they're able to pull this stunt on us this easily is pretty frightening as well. But let's get to the real heart. Dr. Claude, much love to you, man. You've been telling them for years. Bubba from Jamaica, he been saying it for years. We leaving out major parts of history. I want you to just listen to this and tell me, how can you keep believing this scenario over here?
Usually when we in the diaspora think about the slave trade, we tend to think about the Atlantic slave trade. But today, I wanted to bring our attention to an event that also disrupted African history, an event that some may even consider much worse. What about from world? It's Home Team here, and I'm back at it with another video of African history, culture, and worldview. And as always, if you want access to sources, courses, exclusive videos, or if you simply want to support the Home Team, you can do so on Patreon.com. The link is in the description box below. The Arab slave trade began when the Arabs first invaded North Africa in the 7th century. The Arabs' first entry point into North Africa was, of course, Egypt. The general Amir Ibn Alas invaded Egypt in December 639 with a humble force of 4,000 men. According to the sources, these men belonged to the Arab tribe of Ak and partly to the tribe of Gafik. The troops also included some new converts of Roman and Persian soldiers. Ironically, the Muslim Caliph Omar, after allowing his general to leave to conquer Egypt, was having second thoughts, because he thought they surely couldn't conquer Egypt with a measly 4,000 men. So he wrote a letter to General Amir. "If you receive this letter when you have already crossed into Egypt, then you may proceed. Allah will help you, and I will also send reinforcements as may be needed." The Arab general crossed into Egypt, received the letter, and proceeded to conquer the country. This was merely the beginning and the origin of the sweep across North Africa and the Arab invasion. The Arabs would then go on to conquer the Byzantium territories of Tunisia and western Libya, an area the Arabs themselves called Afrikiya. From their base in North Africa, early Arab rulers such as Aqba bin Nafi would impose a tribute of 360 slaves on whatever region he controlled. This tradition, of course, continued to develop and rapidly expanded into a much larger demand. To keep up with this demand, slaves had to be taken from further south, places like Mali, Senegal, Chad, and even northern Nigeria. After slavery was firmly established and very profitable, it became a sort of free-for-all for the Arab Berber Muslims. The 12th century Jewish traveler Benjamin of Tudela recorded that Arab slavers used to take wheat, raisins, and figs to the western Sudan, spread them across the ground near suitable settlements, and then seized and enslaved unsuspecting Africans as they came looking to purchase or inquire. This method was rare, but it just goes to show the lengths that Arabs would go to profit from the booming slave trade in North Africa. Large numbers of Africans were sent north, generally to serve as domestic servants or slave concubines. It's been estimated that from the 10th to the 19th century, some 6,000 to 7,000 slaves were transported north each year. The journey across the desert was, of course, absolutely brutal, and many Africans perished along the way. According to Henry Hamilton Johnston, who was a British explorer, he claims in his book that many slaves would be able to just reach the drinking place and then would sink down and die before the water reached their lips. Another primary source of slaves for the Arab world was on the eastern coast of Africa. This is where enslaved Africans known as the Zanj were in high demand. In general, enslaved African people were used for agriculture, labor, household help, or to be concubines or soldiers. The first direct evidence of a sizable Indian Ocean slave trade was when large numbers of East African male slaves labored on the plantations of the Abbasid Caliphate in Mesopotamia. Slaves exported by Arab traders to Southwest Asia, India, Indonesia, and China worked mainly as soldiers, concubines, and household servants. The expanse of the Arab slave trade was far-reaching. In fact, a 7th century Chinese text mentions ambassadors from Java presenting the Chinese emperor with two Seng Chi, or Zanj slaves, as gifts in 614. And 8th and 9th century chronicles mention Seng Chi enslaved Africans reaching China from the Hindu kingdom. These traders captured Bantu peoples largely from the interior of present-day Kenya, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Large slave markets developed in Zanzibar and Pemba, where, at the height of the trade, as many as 15,000 to 20,000 slaves passed through annually. The slave trade became so significant that in 1840, the Sultan of Oman moved his seat of power to Zanzibar. In the East African interior, people such as the Nwezi, Ngoni, Yao, and Makua raided neighboring communities and sold their captives to Arab caravans, often in exchange for firearms. In addition to the many East African slaves sent to the distant shores of Arabia and the Persian Gulf, others remained as laborers on Arab plantations in East Africa, such as the Omani clove farms in Zanzibar. The Arab slave trade was absolutely devastating to African people. It was a trauma akin to the Atlantic slave trade. I'm not going to play Oppression Olympics between the Atlantic slave trade and the Arab slave trade.
Yeah, that's what we're not going to do. We ain't going to play. But I just want y'all to realize, without the vital connections to the whole story, white people wasn't even in power at all. At all. They were being enslaved at this point of time. Now, the question to y'all should be, how the hell, who we should be suing? You said reparations earlier, brother. Maybe we don't get it because we suing the wrong people.
Drive on.
Go ahead.
Dry bones. I attended reparation conference some years ago with some prominent people in the forefront, on the front lines, dealing with reparations. You know some of the people already in Chicago. And Louis Farrakhan was there. This was at Chicago State University. Mm-hmm. He stood up and, well, he sat there and said on that stage that how the hell you expect to give reparations from your own enemy? You really, he kind of chuckled, but then he was serious. He was like, think about that for a minute. You're asking your enemy to pay back what they did to you and what they're still doing to you now. Think about that concept, though.
But that's a moral connotation on, because, you know, reparations or some type of booty is ancient. It's not like there's something type of, new concept that you give back to what you did. Some tribal shit, that's been going on forever. The problem is, I think our energy is in the wrong direction for the reparations. Because y'all just said the bootleg, the whole concept of this program is the black enemy. If the enemy sold you, look like you, and you just end up with some white folks afterwards, I mean, that's like a no-brainer, don't you think? The white man didn't really chase me down, but he hired somebody to chase
me. And we've had black slaveholders over here in America. We don't talk about that neither. We've had married couples.
We've had situations where you have
dichotomy between black slaves and free slaves. You had situations where you have to have wives by their own husbands out of slavery and vice versa. We don't have these conversations.
Hold on.
There's two callers that are going to get in right now, so y'all hope y'all chill out. I got 3318 and 6077. They've just been holding forever. Thank y'all for holding so long. There you go, 6077. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Great, brothers. Good to hear you. I just want to say we need to be mindful of some of the narratives we listen to, because figs grow all on the west coast of Africa. So some Arabs coming in throwing figs on the ground and African people scrounging around trying to get them, that don't make no sense. They grow figs.
I don't know.
So I think we need to be mindful of that.
I tell people, look up what they say. I looked it up. and it was a story based on a fact that they were used different things. Remember, Africa is vast. I have no clue. I'm not going to say I know the African agriculture at all. But, yeah, but go ahead.
I'm just bringing it to you. I
mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. The question is, I suggest anybody who heard that narrative, just look up what he said, those tribal names, and you will see that this is some validity I didn't say it's 100%, but close to it. But go ahead. What you thought so far of what you've been hearing? Give us your thoughts of what you've been hearing.
Well, I think that Africa is on the table amongst all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not really paying attention to that, I don't think. You know, we talk about ethnicity as a divider among mm-hmm. people, black people, and I think we need to rethink that. You know,
like
you're
like
home
friends.
Anywhere on the planet, wherever you are, you know.
Let it talk, bro.
So that's it. That's all I wanted to say. And I think that maybe we need to do some more inward work and
yeah.
less being focused on
yeah.
all this shit out here going on.
I agree
and
with that.
And we'll be able to come to some resolve.
So inward thought is always much love to you. If we go to 3318, inward thought is always the concept. Know thyself. We ain't gonna never say that ain't the concept. 3318. Much love to that one. That was beautiful, sister. 3318.
Yeah, man. Dry Bones, appreciate you, man, even on a good Sunday morning. Listen, Stravons, I appreciate you bringing in my man there. He was identifying the Boule of just black like us. The Republic, let me see if I can go back there. You were right about that also. If I read the original Pledge of Allegiance, it comes from this white minister named Francis Bellamy. He said, tell the children to start saying this. I pledge allegiance to my flag. It continues by saying, and the republic for which it stands. In mathematics, don't and mean plus? And the republic for which it stands, meaning those peoples
mm-hmm.
who are republic, and they said, my flag, colonists, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So there was a contract going forward somewhere along the line. They're teaching the children. They ain't going to sign it till they get 18 or 21, whatever it was. But it's business.
Yeah.
Trap Bones, you always seem to keep me as a brother to keep searching for the truth. And I appreciate you, man. I
appreciate
all the brothers who bring, like you're saying, from different regions. I'm at the end. This is my small commentary.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I appreciate you because you make me start thinking to go research more.
Yeah, we got.
I'm gonna get Big Mama. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna get Big Mama's purse back. I'm done.
She wanted to.
Hey, that's why I love y'all, man. You gotta stay laughed up and get ready, man. Laughter good for your soul, believe that or not, boy. Because if you don't laugh, boy, you will have a serious high blood pressure. Let's keep it rolling, now.
Yes, sir.
Let me just say this. Now, we talking about the brother book, so we got to put that, keep that in perspective. There, yeah, I understand the self awareness stuff is necessary, but all I'm saying is, for those you got family members who trying to get jobs, who trying to get themselves together, who try to do things, they got to find something that they can gravitate to. And this brother is bringing a hell of a thought pattern of entrepreneurship, for one. I'm into that. Capitalism, for one. And I just believe the freedom of speech to believe that what I'm doing should be profitable. That's a beautiful concept in itself. That means you believe in yourself through your own belief. No matter how old we can get, people gotten old and rich in their 60s. Some even later than that. I looked at a report. I said, damn, we still got hope. So keep hope alive.
Hey,
and
drive
see, we have to want to serve one another. We give service to ourselves, you know.
We should.
We can't. We need
that.
To serve one another.
Yeah.
That's number
one. Well, we were doing that. Service is the rule. Remember, the key word was, I think the civil rights movement somehow being, I'm going to tell y'all, if y'all look up that Twitter thing, that Russian thing is deep, I'm telling y'all, because the Russians always had power in America. I hope y'all understand they helped during the revolution. They blocked off the St. Louis Seaway, which means the British cannot get supplies, and they were able to utilize. America owed them. Remember, America owed Russia. It owed Morocco for sure. I don't know if y'all remember. I mean, sometimes I kind of think about, I'm not that bright. Don't you realize that
if you had a war, if somebody had to finance you, that means you are owed. You got to pay your reparations.
Hey, Bo, let me throw that in there. Now that everything, the oil and everything went up, and they blaming this whole thing on Putin reparation. Now, could this be, because Russia's making out like a bandit, could this be part of their reparation payment for helping during the Civil War? Because he was killing. Even though the president compromised, could this be his payback?
Well, you know, listen, in the game of friend or foe, that tends to switch up according to the time, running times or running narratives. I mean, again, at one point they were enemies. At one point they were friends. I mean, Trump was friendly towards Putin.
Yeah,
we see how Biden and his son was in bed with Russia.
Obama, etc.
So we can't take it too
Russia
seriously.
Russia has never left. Russia has. That's my point. Russia has always been in my. And when I grew up, it was Khrushchev. And so we seen that they was there. Now the question is, I didn't know their ethnicity, man. Do you know they are the Mongols? Did you see that? Have you looked at? You've only seen white Russia, obviously. If you look at Russia, Russia is Islamic. Heavy Islamic.
Can South Carolina, add something to the equation, please?
Go ahead.
Thinking about when you was emphasizing on the bird. That Sankofa looks back in the past and bring what's relevant into the future, right? Or today.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
If you deal with the Bible, the Quran, or even history, we are the first people of this planet. Human, man. We are man, not mankind. We are man. So if we're hundreds of millions of years old, damn near just as old as the soil and the trees, then it's evident that we were everywhere, just like what you just emphasized about Russia. If you look at symbology, a picture's worth a thousand words. A symbol is worth a thousand pictures. All the symbology is all symbology. Every ancient nation has a swastika. That swastika symbolizes unity and motion.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it means good.
Just like
it
has
good.
Saying.
I agree 100%.
We need to digress back to what's important. Just like the World Wars. The World Wars was against anybody that was copper colored. You know, the Edict of the Pope, you know, the Document of Discovery. All of these were against melanated people. You know, all of those
things. Is it because, now let's be honest with ourselves. Because I look at some of the socialist stuff, and I see that Russia didn't have no problem killing their people. They killed like 6 million their own, Stalin. Mao killed a lot of people.
And they're so dramatic.
Chairman Mao killed a bunch of people.
And
I'm thinking.
India got the caste system.
Right.
Go ahead.
So is it basically just control of population other than anything else? Because it does not seem that we're looking at this in a proper perspective. It's like control is what it is. It's like, regardless what color you are at this moment, it seems like the Boule would do anything for their control over us.
Can I say this,
Drybone? So to your guest that you had on, he was really talking about how the new cabinet post, the human services, aka we just give them this, give them that, give them this, the ones that keep you as a minority, just giving you these programs, giving you these social events. That's what my man was getting at, how he had to get out the game. Because all they're doing is keeping our people back. That's what the 501s were. See, and once we start trying to think along the line, whoever's going to go to the head to get that shit, you better get that for a purpose that four or five motherfuckers going to eat off that one name somehow, some way. Can't have a whole list of everybody getting in line to that. So that's the organization of getting the 501c3 money through a corporation to whatever you put your mindset to. Because they still going to want the tax. Ain't they looking for the tax for Black Lives Matter, motherfuckers?
And look at how many people went to jail over them PPP loans and stuff, too.
That's that new one. Come along. We got to wait, let somebody else come in. I'm done.
We got 2 minutes. We're about to lose the program. Y'all can stay with us. We'll go a little bit over. For those of you out there in different regions, I know you ain't got the game yet. So we'll let y'all roll a little bit longer. But let me be clear.
Let the brother give his website again, please.
I want him to get his last in. So go ahead. Get your last in.
Yeah, the website, www.CEarlCampbell.com, www.CEarlCampbell.com. You can find the book there, an audio form as well as a PDF, as well as some of the other writings that I have, including a book on reparations. The website for TQR is TQRINC.com. That's TQRINC.com. And the clean energy is AHEC ENERG.com. It's the heck energy without the Y on that .com. And you can support me or reach out to me. My contact information is there. I welcome the opportunity to answer any additional questions you have. And Dry Bones, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, buddy.
Don't worry, bro. You're coming back, bro, because I think this is the way we can keep this conversation going. You got another book I want to go into, too, man. You got one called The Revised Amendment Constitution for the United States for the 21st Century. I want that one next. And I heard you're a musician like myself, so I like to do that conscious hip-hop, Mad Suicide Bomber. We might have to check into that. So keep me in your thoughts so we can get some programs.
I think we should
do a singular show on that TQR, brother, because I think that's where we can bridge these
he's coming back, man.
The areas where we at, you know what I mean?
We need to meet, though. I know you're a number. I'm going to talk with you. We could do maybe a live chat. You know we got Zoom now and all this other shit. We can see each other. So let's make it happen, man. So keep it talk. We get with you soon. Also, those next week, I'm going to try to get Rob Collins for housing, man. We had a housing event here. I did not attend. Rob Collins did. It's in South Florida. It is a crisis here, y'all. Unfortunately, our prices are outrageously outgoing past the middle class at this point. And unfortunately,
and that's on purpose.
South Florida and Florida is the most expensive place to live now.
Yep, Miami specifically.
Yeah, so we got to look at that. He's going to come on hopefully between next week and next week. I'm going to put that out there. So tell people, listen to this, because you still can get profit from housing. If y'all would stick together and get about $15,000 to $20,000 between a group of y'all, but if it's four or five, and you can buy some type of dilapidated piece or whatever, hold it if you could get it, because they're going to buy up all properties. Once the collapse come in, everybody, listen carefully. I hope, brother, are you still with us, brother Vosk? Once the economy go to the full reset, because I don't think we can stop it at this point in time because of the fact everybody's phone and all of us are now hooked up pretty much to cashless apps. So cashless apps is where we're going. So you must accept that fact. We have done it. It's going to happen. Second technology fact is, if you got 401ks, you better check them ASAP, because when Russia asks for gold, I told you, I read the story for you on Twitter, Russia go ask for gold.
It's a done deal. They already asked for the ruble.
I told you the truth.
Gold or ruble.
And hold on, this was in Twitter. We deciphered the Twitter. And I mean, that's unbelievable. I love myself on that one.
Drop Bones, I got another question for the brother before he go, if he didn't leave yet.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, do you think that since you're into music like Dry Bones, do you think that us creating our own music, just like wise ones like you yourself and Dry Bones and others on this dialogue, do you think if we created our music and we disseminated the music, you know, between our people, you know, to give them a different sense of thought, even about going back to these natural staples with this food, clothing, and shelter, co-oping together, do you think that would help to make a difference in our experience?
There's plenty of opportunity to disrupt the entire music industry, so that we can create our own music and distribute it through streaming and downloads. That exists today. We just have to take advantage of that and get with those who are trying to create conscious music and all kinds of music that have been weeded out or left out of that system. Digital products like movies, music, videos, all kinds of technologies, apps, all of that. The world is just right for us to compete and use this technology and connect it to our people so that those who have the talent can actually get paid from their talent.
I agree. And you know what? I'll say this already. These cities that we're talking about already being built, Dubai, Akon City, they are already 3D metaverse cities. They probably already got the jets and set up flying cars already. It's already a done deal. It's just that the elite is doing what I consider a class system adjustment. Meaning mm-hmm. if you ain't got the money, you ain't gonna get with the
right.
program.
I've been to Dubois. Dubois ain't no joke. It's literally almost like a paradise.
Wow.
Hot as hell in the summertime, but man, it's nice.
Hey, you've seen it firsthand, so ain't that amazing? They made an oasis in the desert, just like Gaddafi did. Actually, Gaddafi did the same thing before he was assassinated. He built a city in the desert. It was one of the most brilliant feat that took place at that time, converting the desert. And I'm going to say this to heat this conversation up. I mean, people on the line, some of y'all did military. I think military is very good for people to learn how to fight or learn how to defend themselves. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I just think that what you're fighting for is the real cause for a lot of stuff. But here's the key. America, right now, Army could hold a coup.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all right now. And you know how I know? I happen to get ready to laugh. I happen to see Triple X with Ice Cube for the first time. And I watched it. I'm like, let me watch this shit. I watched it because I was, I had a good time watching it. I said, but the premise was the Army was going to kill the president. No, I don't know if y'all remember the movie Triple X with his ass was in it, but it was very, and Samuel Jackson, they pretended they were going to use this squad to kill the president and had them all, rounded up secretly so they could blame it on them. I said, man, this is some crazy shit. But the premise was they wanted to take the country into isolation. They didn't want people to, they didn't want to, help the whole world or some bullshit. I said, man, look at this shit. I said, now the black dude was Triple X with Ice Cube. He was action hero. I said, now look what they did. They showed everything. They said they transporting guns. This is what they said in the movie. The guns was being transported through trucks and pretending to be food trucks. I said, look at this shit. I told myself, I said, now, man, think about it. The cartel and them is bringing in all kind of weapons. That's what I'm hearing. We don't see it because, of course, they don't want to see it. But there's a lot of weapons coming in through that corridor. Sound like they trying to create, to me, y'all answer the question, is they trying to create a red dawn?
Well,
hey, drop on. I'd like to add to that the fact that look who was controlling that secret agency, a melanated man that protected the president. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the military-industrial complex, we should already know that that's who really runs this nation. I don't care what anybody say.
Yeah, it tells you.
They're the biggest gangsters on the planet. Ain't no way you're getting around them. However, I do think the black society, especially those sojourning in America, has to have some type of protection ability against what I would call it. When the brother used the term mafia, I think he was on point. We're lacking in that department, that way our heroes get taken out so quick underneath our nose, and we feel helpless because we have
no apparatus. What about the black mafia? Let's go with the black mafia right quick, because everybody know that we take this so lightly that they ain't light. If you look at the history of the black mafia from St. Louis, Memphis,
New York,
and parts of Chicago. These gangsters were black. In New York, these gangsters that were black was well respected by the Italians, actually. And let me just say this so y'all know. And so was the Irish. The Irish gangs in New York should have told y'all a lot about the gang situations of how the blacks were actually smashing, sexually smashing the damn Irish women to death. That's a fact. Now, I don't know if y'all understand this, but what's going on, too, is we do been brainwashed by color, because if I look at the sexual mores of the early ages, man, how could Jack Johnson run around the town during the time of the Ku Klux Klan with white women without no problem?
And then beat and a gun.
And then beat up white men in the ring. How was that?
His life was threatened almost every day, though. But he didn't give a damn.
Was it really? Because I'm thinking, man, I watched this story, and I watched the real Jack Johnson, man. I was so proud of him. I had tears. I said, this dude was like a gangster.
He was a badass. But that's the mindset that we've lost. black man has lost.
That's why I keep watching shit like that. I said, man. And then when I look at some of the other ones, now, here's the problem I do have. I do have a problem with us when we don't look at the real old pictures of our history, man. Let me just say this, man. A lot of times, I watched a documentary on the black soldiers in Germany. And, man, I don't know, bro. I'm going to say this. I mean,
Spike Lee did a movie about that some years ago, didn't he? Yeah.
Right. The amount of women that was fucking these black men where they could have been easily lynched in America. Was actually
this miracle at St. Anne.
And then that's what they said. They did a statistic. They said the black children in Germany at the same peak of the same age of the white kids was no difference in learning. They doing
wow.
the technology.
The Rhineland bastards, they called them.
Right. So you telling me, there's nothing I got to say how we can look at this stuff and don't think about sex involvement. Think about this.
This is part of the thing that's going
Yeah, think about this, though. The sex part is where the bloodline is going to be drawn, so that's why they don't care about color. The real elite don't care about color. They don't. Because if they
that's
did, think about it. You said they come over here. It was a custom to give your women up for a guest. It was a custom. Right over here, too.
That's the carbon copy.
It was a custom. So I'm trying to figure out why is that not brought up in the equation? Because black folks might be part of the whole story.
Yeah, but somewhere we lost our minds because and the result of it down the road was very damaging to the race.
We was meant to lose our minds. They meant to do it. Because think about it. You didn't lose your mind. You were able to see everybody did not lose their mind, but a large remnant did. That's why it's called the elect in the Bible.
But you got brothers right now appropriating with these white snow bunnies, man. And I'm telling you,
what happened
is that when that kid grows up, he has no really affiliation or loyalty to that black race because his first god is his mother. And if she's white, like you see in Obama, you saw his sentiments were more with the way they were properly lined, even though he married a sister. So that's the mistake we never revisited.
Now,
the brothers that lost their mind because you not only lost your mind.